Good morning. It is 1:02 p.m. I will call the special called City Council meeting regarding Fair Park to order. I welcome all. We are scheduled from 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock, and I'm sure we have a good agenda here to use that time. We will start with an invocation by Ms. Felicia Hill from the Life Church of Dallas. She serves as prayer director for the Life Church. She was born and raised in Shreveport and has been a happy resident of Dallas for 31 years. A graduate of America Trades Institute, she studied at Dallas Baptist University and currently enrolled in Purpose Institute Ministerial College. She's active in the community and is proud to have two great sons. After that, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Wilson will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. All rise. Ms. L.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you today, God, that you hear every one of our prayers. We humble our hearts in your presence today, God. You are a great God, and you're able, oh God, to minister to the needs of this great city. Father, we thank you for Mayor Rawlings and for each and every elected official here today that has been appointed here for your will and purposes. We ask in the name of Jesus that you give them wisdom in this meeting. We ask that you give them vision for this city. We ask, oh God, for clear direction, oh God, for this city in the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray, God, let the healing of Dallas continue in the name of Jesus. We pray, God, that you will unite us, oh Lord, greater than before. We pray in the name of Jesus that you would bind spirits of unity and division, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Let there be healing. Let there be peace. Empower us, oh God, to work together, oh God, for the betterment of this city. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
You follow me? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all, and we will begin, and this is kind of how we'll do this. We've got two briefings, Mr. Winters and Mr. Jenkins, from the from the Dallas Park Board, and then Mr. Heumann from the Fair Park Texas Foundation. We'll take those back to back, so both of them will happen, and then we will open it up for comments and questions of both parties. And with that, I will. I just want to say thank you. Thank you, Willis and John Daniel, for your hard work. Thank you, Mr. Heumann, for your hard work. Thank you to the Park Board. They've spent many, many hours on this. And just as a process update, Council, the Park Board has worked on this in one shape or form for over a year, and we appreciate their effort. They bring us a contract and a recommendation on that contract. I think it's good work and it's a good foundation. It is not binding on us in any fashion. We can do what we want to do when we want to do it as a council. I am planning on using this briefing to give input to Mr. Heumann, to us as a council. And then we will be setting a date in the coming weeks to vote on whatever we decide to do. So with that, Mr. Winters, why don't you begin? Thank you. Well, hopefully, how long is your presentation, Mr. Winters?
About 20 minutes at the most.
Okay, 20 minutes and 20, 30 minutes for you, Mr. Heumann. okay? And then we'll open it up, okay?
All right. Thank you, Mayor. Good afternoon, Mayor and members of the City Council. This is a briefing on the proposed management agreement with the Fair Park Texas Foundation for Fair Park. I'll begin on page 2, which provides some background on Fair Park, which many of you are well aware of. It's a 277-acre park. It's the largest collection of Art Deco architecture in the United States. It was designated a National Historic Landmark in 1986 by the National Park Service. It's home to multiple cultural institutions, venues, the home of many signature events and attractions in our city. In 2011, Fair Park was designated by the American Planning Association as one of the great public spaces in America. And this year, I'm very proud to announce that Fair Park was recognized by the International Association of Venue Managers with their two Venue Excellence Awards. A little background now on how we got to today. In 2013, Mayor Rawlings appointed the Mayor's Fair Park Task Force. This was chaired by Linda Evans. It was the task force was charged with examining the future of Fair Park, capitalizing on the many strengths of Fair Park, enabling it to reach its full potential, and making recommendations that would address longstanding challenges and realize real improvements at Fair Park. So these recommendations would specifically address the issue of inadequate funding, the absence of green space, the lack of cohesive governance in a marketing body, and the misconceptions regarding park safety. On September 3rd, 2014, there was a joint session of the Dallas City Council and the Park and Recreation Board in which a presentation entitled The Park for All People was presented. The recommendations were from that presentation were to enhance access and connectivity with both the community and the city, to establish a community park on the south side of Fair Park, and to empower a new nonprofit organization as the operational and marketing authority for Fair Park. The next couple of pages have illustrate the timeline that and the amount of time, as the mayor indicated, that we've been working on this project, beginning in with the joint City Council Park Board meeting in September, and then through May of the following year, the Park and Recreation Board undertook discussion of the recommendations from the Mayor's Fair Park Task Force. In December of 2014, beginning in December through February of 2016, there were a number of public input meetings held. In May of 2015, the Park Board authorized the adoption of the recommendations of the Mayor's Fair Park Task Force with several modifications. And in November of last year, 2015, Council Member Young hosted a community meeting at the African American Museum. On November the 18th of last year, 2015, the City Council was briefed on the future of Fair Park by Walt Heumann. February 8th, City Council hosted a public input meeting at the Hall of State. Between April and August of 2016, the Park and Recreation Board undertook discussion of the deal points for this proposed management agreement with the foundation. And then on August the 4th, the board approved the draft management agreement. And so page 7 is basically a summary page before we get into the deal points about the public-private partnership. One of the recommendations is to sufficiently fund the operation of Fair Park. This would come several ways. Number one, increase the staffing in the areas of marketing, events and programming, development, and community outreach. To add trades staff, these are plumbers, painters, carpenters, electricians, to address periodic maintenance and enhance the facilities and amenities upkeep. And finally, to engage administrative services, including HR, legal, accounting, communications, and IT. Secondly, in this public-private partnership, it would leverage private and public dollars for Fair Park enhancements and improvements through to address the improvement of aesthetics and the functionality of the spaces and facilities, to create a new community park and green spaces, and to stimulate the economic growth through investment in Fair Park and the surrounding community. Now I'd like to take you through the deal points, and beginning on page 9 is sort of a overall summary of what we have to present to you today. Basically, we're talking about a contract between the City of Dallas and the Fair Park Texas Foundation for the management, maintenance, operation, and marketing of Fair Park. Secondly, I want to emphasize that Fair Park will continue to be an asset owned by the City of Dallas, but managed by the foundation. And finally, the city will pay an annual management fee to the foundation to fully support Fair Park as a public park, maintaining and managing the grounds and facilities as a vibrant year-round location for events and activities. And I'd like to point out here that the management fee is really, it represents an enhancement of the city's current budget for Fair Park, and I'll get in more into that in a moment. So beginning on page 10, I'd like to take you through some high-level deal points now, and we've got these in order according to the contract, so starting with the first article, which has to do with the purpose and the term of the management agreement. The city appoints the foundation as the exclusive operator and manager of Fair Park, and the foundation in turn commits to fully and completely support Fair Park as a public park solely for park purposes for the benefit of the city's residents and visitors. And we've got the section of the contract cited there if we need to refer to that contract in questions. Secondly, the foundation will pursue certain performance objectives. The creation, and these objectives include the creation and maintenance of a community park, to support and enhance Fair Park as a National Historic Landmark, maintenance and enhancement of various cultural institutions, and the maintenance and enhancement of the sporting and recreational venues at Fair Park. These were objectives specifically defined by the Park Board. The term of this agreement would commence on January 1st, 2017, and extend for 20 years. There would be two consecutive five-year renewal terms. Article 2 has to do with ownership, transfers, and transition. At the first bullet point, the city will retain ownership of the land and the real property interests and improvements. The city will convey to the foundation the personal property utilized by Fair Park for its daily operations. And we list some of the items there that would constitute personal property, with the exception that the city will not convey public art, will not convey historic furnishing. So we just wanted to point that out in particular. Continuing on Article 2 on page 12, city will sign and the foundation will assume all Fair Park contracts with one exception. The foundation shall provide the upkeep, maintenance, repair, security, storage, etc., to the extent the foundation receives funding from the city. And the foundation will assume the city's payment obligations related to the three annual football games played in the Cotton Bowl. Now, the exception that I mentioned is the contract for the Children's Aquarium at Fair Park will not be transferred or assigned to the foundation. It will continue to be governed by the Dallas Zoo Agreement executed in 2009. The reason for that is simply because the aquarium needs to be accredited by the National Accreditation Association for Zoos and Aquariums, and that can best be accomplished while it is under the Dallas Zoo and not under the Fair Park Texas Foundation. Article 3 has to do with the management fee and other fiscal matters. The city will pay the foundation and a management fee, and again, I want to reiterate, this is more of an enhancement of our current budget for Fair Park. The management fee for 2016-17 is proposed to be $12,525,000, less $1 million in transition funds that will be provided no later than October 31st. So after January 1st, the management fee would be $11,525,000 balance. Then in year two, the management fee would increase by $2 million to $18.7 million. So let me explain that. So the management fee for year one would normally be $16.7 million, but we're prorating it because the commencement date, instead of being October 1, would be now January 1st. We cannot get to an October 1st commencement date. So we prorated the management fee to $12,525,000 in the first year. That means that for the first quarter of the fiscal year 16-17, Fair Park would remain under the operation and funding of the Park and Recreation Department. So year two, the escalation is to $18.7 million, and then in year three, the management fee would increase by a final $2 million to $20.7 million. And there would be no CPI adjustment on that. Beginning in October of 2017, the management fee would be provided to the foundation in equal quarterly installments. On page 14, the city, subject to City Council approval, will seek voter consideration to authorize bond funds for certain Fair Park capital bond projects in the next two upcoming bond programs. So again, this is subject to City Council approval. The proposal for 2017 bond program would be an allocation of $75 million for Fair Park, which would be matched by the Fair Park Texas Foundation with $50 million in non-city funds. There is also a request for a second bond program at some point in the future where there would be an equal a request of $50 million from the city to be matched by $50 million from the private sector. These bond program amounts here do not include funding for projects outside of the Fair Park boundaries. So I know there's a lot of interest in infrastructure, street and drainage improvements outside of Fair Park that might also be considered, but that's not part of this contract. Continuing with Article 3 on page 15, the foundation will fund the resident institutions at Fair Park to support their programming, their utility payments, their maintenance, and other support. If the city council appropriates the full management fee, the foundation shall allocate at least $1.3 million to these resident institutions. So that's the current amount that the Office of Cultural Affairs and the Park and Recreation Department are currently funding the resident institutions at $1.3 million. So that would remain in place. If the council appropriates less than the full management fee, the foundation will reduce proportionally the funding amount to these resident institutions. The foundation will also utilize the Office of Cultural Affairs annual application and review process for the evaluation and recommendation for funding support. So the institutions would go through the normal process with the Office of Cultural Affairs. The recommendation would be made to the Cultural Affairs Commission, and they would in turn recommend program funding to the Fair Park Texas Foundation for the institutions. And finally, the foundation has an obligation to conserve the public art at the direction of the OC, Office of Cultural Affairs Director in proportion to any bond funds that are received. Article 4 has to do with management and operation. The Fair Park Texas Foundation is a newly formed nonprofit organization formed to operate Fair Park. It's governed by a nine-member board of directors that has enacted bylaws. At least, and this was an important requirement from the Park and Recreation Board, that at least one member of this nine-member board shall be from and represent the surrounding Fair Park community, and at least one member shall be from and represent the historic preservation community. So those two seats are on the nine-person board. And Mr. Heumann can tell you more about his board in a moment. The Fair Park will also be used solely for park purposes. This has to do with state law. Park purposes are defined as recreation, culture, sports, entertainment, and education with either a recreation or cultural component. A performance plan with performance indicators will be developed in order for the Park and Recreation Board to evaluate the performance of the foundation. This was another very important component of this management agreement for the Park Board. The indicators will include, but not be limited to, the items that you see listed here, including number of visitors, events, operating revenues, et cetera, the contributions for a signature community park, amount of green space created, and the foundation's progress in meeting the city's BID plan. The foundation will also submit the performance plan to the Park and Recreation Board, subject to Park Board review and approval. On page 18, the foundation shall provide to the Park and Recreation Board reports on its activities at Fair Park. During the first 2 years of the contract, the foundation will report to the Park Board in person at Park Board meetings no less than quarterly. That's for the first 2 years. And then beginning in 2020, the foundation will provide an annual report to the Park Board that summarizes its performance under the performance plan. If the foundation fails to meet any performance indicator in the performance plan by deviation of 10% or more, the foundation will engage at its own expense an independent consultant to develop and oversee the implementation of a remediation plan. Page 19 has to do with personnel. The foundation has agreed to employ, pay, supervise, and discharge all personnel the foundation determines to be necessary for the management of Fair Park and its performance under this agreement. And in also, very importantly, the foundation has agreed to make an offer of employment to all city employees currently based at Fair Park effective on the commencement date. This differs from the Dallas Zoo when we privatized in 2009, where the city employees at the zoo were RIFed and then had to apply for a job with the Zoological Society. So in this case, the foundation has agreed to offer employment to every Fair Park employee. Article 4, also continuing in management and operation, this has to do with public relations, marketing, promotion, advertising, and fundraising. The foundation shall have exclusive authority for all public relations, everything there. Foundation shall have exclusive right to plan, design, implement, and manage all fundraising efforts, including donor recognition. And then under naming and sponsorships, the foundation shall have the right to contract for and grant sponsorships, advertising space, and naming rights at Fair Park. Article 6 on page 21 has to do with maintenance, alterations, and construction. The first point is the foundation shall maintain and repair Fair Park on a regular basis and as needed to keep Fair Park in good working order and in a safe, attractive, and orderly condition and in compliance with comparable park industry standards. With respect to any repair, maintenance, or alterations performed by the foundation, all such work will be at their sole cost and expense, and foundation contracts related to this activity will require the contractor to use good faith efforts to comply with the city's BID plan. All plans and specs for alterations exceeding $100,000, and this is what we term the construction threshold amount, all projects exceeding $100,000 shall be submitted to the director for review and approval. The community park is discussed on page 22 in section 6.16 of the contract. During the first year of the term of this agreement, the foundation will undertake the conceptual designs for a signature community park located within Fair Park. And that park, when it's constructed, will be open to the public free of charge on a year-round basis, including during the annual State Fair of Texas. Foundation will commence construction of this signature park within 24 months of funding becoming available. Article 7 is revenue opportunities. Fair Park revenues will be retained by the foundation for the operation, marketing, and maintenance of Fair Park. And those revenues include, but are not necessarily limited to, the items listed here, including parking fees, rents and other user fees, programming fees and revenues, concession and vendor revenue, naming, advertising, and sponsorship rights, and then revenues from Fair Park contracts. Except for the annual State Fair of Texas and other special events, admission to the grounds of Fair Park will remain free of charge. Article 9 has to do with financial reports and transparency. The foundation shall submit its annual operating budget for its upcoming fiscal year not less than 60 days prior to the end of each foundation fiscal year. The foundation will furnish to the city within 90 days after the close of each quarter unaudited financial statements of each quarter, which will include balance sheets, statements of operation, statements of cash flow. So quarterly, the foundation will provide unaudited financial statements to the Park Department. And then finally, the foundation will provide to the city within 120 days after the close of the fiscal year audited financial statements prepared by an independent certified public accountant. Article 13 has to do with defaults and remedies. In the event of any foundation default, the city will have the right upon notice to the foundation to terminate the agreement effective not less than 90 nor more than 180 days after the notice. In the event of city default, similarly, the foundation may also serve notice on the city to terminate the agreement within that 90 to 180-day time frame. The city and the foundation have the right to terminate for non-appropriation of management fee. The foundation has a right to terminate if a bond election is unsuccessful and the city is unable to secure alternate financing by the fourth anniversary of the date of the bond election. Mr. Mayor and Council, that concludes my presentation on the deal points for the proposed management agreement.
Thank you, Mr. Winters. I will turn it over to Mr. Heumann. I want to say thank you again, Mr. Heumann, for working these many months on this project. I appreciate you taking this as a volunteer position. Unlike the City Council, you don't get big bucks like we do up here. But Mr. Heumann, I think, was appropriate for this job, mainly because of his experience and decades of civic leadership. Two things were pointed out I think are important. One, he was really one of the fathers of DART, and DART would not have gotten off the ground making sure every community was involved. And the way that plan was put together took a lot of compromise and partnership and leadership. And secondly, understanding neighborhoods, not only in the attempt to get North Central done, but what he's done with Jubilee Park with many others there, but he was a great leader there. So thank you for what you've done already, and the microphone's yours.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mayor, and ladies and gentlemen of the Council, I appreciate the time that you're giving. And, Mayor, I appreciate the honor you asking me to perform in this function. First slide, please. Can I see that? Okay, good deal. So imagine Fair Park, and these are the principal elements. Fair Park becomes one of the premier parks in the nation, if not the world. State Fair remains the best and the largest state fair in the nation. Other events, activities, and uses provide increased time and space or are allowed to expand and thrive. Private funding augments and actually exceeds the public funding. But first, that public funding has to come. And then finally, the bicentennial celebration is held right here in Dallas and not in San Antonio or Austin or Houston, which competed in the 1936 time period. This plan is a community vision. It is not a single plan. It is not a single person's vision. That will be developed over time. That's the way we do things in the community and should be done. Next slide, please. Okay, so we want to talk here about the three-year planning process. We have been involved in a careful, inclusive, and transparent activity. Let me go back in time, and I want to go back even further than the mayor's task force. In 1996, I chaired the Science Place, and to the best of my knowledge, we had the sole new expansion of any facility in Fair Park. We had the IMAX Theater and the entire wing. At that time, the two main benefactors, donors, mentioned to me, where is the city of Dallas in funding Fair Park? I had no answer. In 2001, I made a presentation to the council and to officials of State Fair and others, basically saying we have three deficiencies in Fair Park. We don't have adequate funding. We have a poor management structure and there's no marketing. Nothing happened. The Hargraves plan was engaged in 2003. They did a great job. They had multiple community meetings, and I was privileged to be part of that process. They came out with a report. The council approved it. The park board approved it. The landmark commission approved it. 2003. Today, it's 2016. Not one single thing has been done to implement that plan. And then you've heard the chronology of the mayor's task force, the numerous meetings that they were held, and that was basically approved by the park board, reviewed by the council, numerous public meetings. And then the foundation was asked to be involved. We got this activity began, and I've had personally about 250 meetings with organizations, individuals, and others, and more to come. How long do we have to wait to do what we need to do? Look, change is extremely difficult, especially if money is involved. No one likes to spend money, but look at the results of our inaction over the last 3 to 4 decades. Go out there in Fair Park and see how many new projects have come in, how many new donors have provided funding for Fair Park. What about those old priceless treasures and those buildings? What are their conditions? There's no unified management, and there's not adequate funding. And consequently, museums have gone, events have gone, buildings have deteriorated. Time is now. This is not selecting a specific plan. That is done by consensus in the community. It's getting the tools to implement plans. Management, financing. Two things. Everything that I have had the privilege of being involved in, the desegregation case to creating the magnet schools, as I mentioned, Dart Central, Jubilee Park, and others, all basically involved a consensus development. That's what I like to do, getting different people together, working as a team, and forming a consensus, not one person's plan. It's a group plan. Now, if the foundation is approved, all the plans will be considered, and there have been a lot that have been authored over the last 4 or 5 months, but the community has got to be involved, period, paragraph. And we've got to follow the Hargrave principles. This is an excellent master plan that you all commissioned and that was paid for. Now, I can't imagine why anyone wouldn't want to provide the tools to make it possible to develop a consensus plan for Fair Park. I just can't. It's beyond me. Next, please. Okay, so vision. Fair Park today, under envisions, we want to implement a master plan. It's under managed. We want to add and have added a first-class board and new talent to the current staff. It's under invested. I'll get to that in a few minutes. Under marketed, there is no marketing for overall Fair Park. Disorganized, there was a great little quip in a letter that I received recently. And he reminded me about the incident at Science Place. We had a front door problem. The problem was one group in the city handled the exterior of doors. Another group in the city handled the interior part of the door. And so there was a loggerhead. And I mentioned at the last presentation, the lagoon. We did not get clean. We finally had to use volunteers to clean the lagoon. So we have basically a public operation trying to manage a very complex organism. Lack of neighborhood involvement. I guess you could really put that and put exclamation points. So we have two choices. One choice, the status quo, kick the financing down the road as we've done the last 30 years, or provide the tools of management and financing so we'll have a viable new vision for Fair Park. Leadership is the absolute key. I feel very proud and very honored that we've had 9 individuals who have agreed to serve on the board, and we had an additional level serve an additional 11 individuals serving on the advisory board to give additional expertise and representation. And then we have the Leadership Council. That is made up of the institutions within Fair Park because they have a seat at the table and they need to be heard. We have an excellent staff account of city employees. And finally, we're going to be seeking a new CEO for Fair Park. Next, please. You've seen this before, but now it's filled in. And when I was at the council on November the 18th, here was my hope for and promise. We'd try to have a triracial board, and we'd have 5 of the 9 board members female because females have been underrepresented in Fair Park throughout its entire history. And that's exactly what you have up there in that top board of directors. In addition to that, we have 2 individuals from the surrounding community and 1 individual from the historical preservation area. But we created an advisory board. Didn't need to do that. No one asked that to get additional representation. And so those 4 boxes to the left are individuals that actually live and work in the surrounding community. Jubilee Park, Mill City, Dolphin Heights. The next 2, we've added 2 additional historical preservation individuals. We've added a professional from the architectural group, Andy Swift, who is recognized in this nation for his soccer marketing skills and so forth, to help us fill that cotton bowl that is underutilized. And we have a representative that has been heavily involved with the creation of the DART line coming out here. And finally, 2 representatives from the Leadership Council. That's that bottom group of all the institutions that operate in Fair Park. So with that, I've said, you all and your predecessors created a very complex organization. Institutions out there with long-term, no-cut contracts. And that's what we've inherited. And so what we're trying to do with that organization chart that some of you kiddingly described in different ways, but that was my attempt to unify the management of what we are faced with and to have them work as a team rather than as 40 to 50 independent fiefdoms. Next, please. So I'm going to talk a little about 7 strategies. 1, add green space. 2, create new uses for buildings and park space in Fair Park. Work with the community. Next, please. Preserve historic treasures. Attract more people through marketing. Improve transportation and access. And continue improving through strategic planning. Next, please. Okay. I'd like to repeat for the record. The foundation and I personally am not interested in just fixing up old buildings. I'm going to repeat that. The foundation, nor Walt Heumann, is interested in just fixing up old buildings. What we are doing and we are about is trying to create synergism and new and exciting things. So when the park board was kind enough to ask me what my thoughts were, I caveated those thoughts by saying, this is just one person, but it's got to go through a community planning process and get the professionals involved. But I suggested a community park. We called it a family park, a grand park, right there along Cullen Boulevard. And we are committed that separate and apart from trying to address problems in Fair Park, to make that our number one priority. Number one, do it right away, as fast as we can. Now, that park has been described as a postage stamp-sized park. Well, it's 60 to 70% larger than Clybourne Park, and I run a calculation, and it is 50 million times larger than a 1-inch square postage stamp. So just think about that. All right. We want the best ideas. And the agreement, we're committed to the 1 year trying to get the conceptual plan. But there is something indefinable about creativity. And you're just on the cusp of finalizing or freezing the design. and someone else comes out of the blue and says, but have you thought about doing it this way? And it makes all the difference. So committed to the 1 year conceptual plan, but we got to do it right. We got to have money. We got to have professional input. And most important, we've got to have the community input. This is not about fixing up old buildings. It's about creating new, exciting things in that park. Now, you say, well, you can stand up here and talk all you want about this priority. What have you got to show to prove that you did that? Go to Jubilee Park, which is just to the north of Fair Park. The very first thing that we did in Jubilee Park was build a park, and now it's an award-winning park. It's the center. It's the heartbeat of that community. So my heart is in the right place, and that's why we're going to get this done. Next, please. Now, I want, at the end of the process, for you all to put to rest this comment about only interested in old buildings, because the other thing that Park Board allowed me to do was talk about the bigger issue of Fair Park and what would be done there. This is not the start. This is not the end, that community or family or grand park. And so I want to point out some, well, I can't, this thing doesn't work up there, but let me just set the stage. Fair Park to the north, that is the Jubilee Park area. To the southeast is the Dolphin Heights and Mill City. To the southwest is the MLK area. Those are important, critical communities that abound Fair Park. And so what I'd like to do, first of all, is talk about what it takes to build a signature park. Open spaces, active recreation, and one thing is critical that this report criticizes us is that we don't have enough recreational activities for kids. This is where I played basketball growing up, in the automobile building. And you don't have much of that anymore. We want special uses, entertainment, education, revenue-generating partnerships, not only in the community, but also with businesses. We want to develop a physical plan that is a consensus plan. But the caveat on these prior plans, no one ever mentioned how you are going to fund it. And so we stuck our neck out and we said specifically, here's what needs to be done. So let's start with the customer or the visitor or the general public to Fair Park. How do we get those people to Fair Park? Well, we want to make sure that they can easily walk, bike the trails, the Santa Fe Trail, going from your upper left to the right, connecting up to White Rock Lake. DART, we spent a lot of time in creating DART. We should use that to the maximum extent. There's no reason why we can't get people during lunchtime to come out to Fair Park for a quiet lunch or conventions when they come in town or use DART when they want to enjoy Fair Park and basically don't want to park. There's the car, Uber, Lyft, and make it more accessible and customer-friendly. Now, what I mean by that, an app that tells you where to park if I'm coming to the music hall for a performance at night. I'll talk a little about parking lots, but let me dwell on three key things. If you look at the upper part of that chart, you have East Grand that dead ends before Fair Park. We need to connect that major corridor, and in a separate request that I'm making to this city council, in your street budget for your bond program, allocate $10 million for upgrading East Grand. Why? It'll help that corridor and the businesses. Number two, there's no easy access for all those residents in Jubilee Park to get to Fair Park without going through the dangerous area crossing the DART rail line and so forth. And third, it provides another entrance into Fair Park. Secondly, another $10 million in your street funds to finish the job on MLK and L. Lipscomb Way, because that can be the grand entrance as you come off of 45. It's not done yet. They need $10 million, and we need $5 million because you've got a drainage system that was put in the 1930s that handles five-year flood states, and we've had two 75-year flood events just in the last year. So what you do by doing that is you relieve the bottleneck that exists right now at 2nd Avenue and Perry. Next, let's talk about the elephant in the room, the parking lots. They occupy 65% of all the space, and that's got to change. And so within funding and operational means, we want to do everything possible to convert as much of that off that that space, those parking lots, to green space. Most of the lots are underutilized, but here's a key thing. No one can show me any data on how much that particular lot is used during the day, during the week, during the time of the year. That's very important because some lots are so underutilized that they might be converted for other uses. The area around Fitchew is just a sea of parking lots. That can be changed, should be changed. In addition, the museum green and the what they call the music green, that's along Cullen Boulevard. The commitment is to turn that totally into green lots. It's a complex issue, though. Yes, sir. It's a complex issue, and it doesn't lend itself very easily to quick solutions. But we can get through and win-win solutions on this parking lot situation. I have a list here of about 25 projects of people that have contacted me and that would like to get involved in Fair Park. A basketball and volleyball and batting cage like is so successful in North Dallas and Southwest Dallas, those things. These are the notes that I gave to the park board. I'd like to share them with the council because they're very important. What they show is that basically our heart's in the right place. There's a lot of things that can be done, should be done. And with that, I want to just close. Next slide. Is that we it takes seed capital to develop new projects. Okay, number three, work with the community. Fair Park should be a springboard for positive change that goes on in the community. Period, paragraph. That is axiomatic. Establish a planning process. Involve the councilwoman who oversees this district, Tiffany Young, the advisory board trustees, and the WINS board, and create a neighborhood coalition that basically conducts design charrettes that determine what we actually put in these various components in part. Establish job training and job employment. But it needs your help, Mayor, and it needs the council's help. Fair Park cannot do this alone. We've got a lot of challenges, but what we want is growth without gentrification. Next slide, please. Number four, preserve historic treasures. The Alamo and the Art Deco buildings are the two prized treasures in all of the state of Texas. We have existing assets that not due to your neglect, but your predecessors, we should have been spending $5 to $10 million more a year in Fair Park, then we wouldn't be talking about this. You'd have more private capital that would already come in there. And so what we did was we took the $240 million worth of identified projects that you need to take the assets that you've got there now. This is not new projects. It is the existing needs inventory that was done by AECOM. And I would point out that you've got almost $32 million of items that should have been done decades ago. This is security, safety, ADA problems, lose key treasures because rain falls in on some of the material. They should have set an endowment up when they did the buildings in 1936. In Jubilee Park, when we built the community center and the police substation, we did just that. Fortunately, we were able to raise an additional 20%, but that wasn't done, nor was the funding to Fair Park indexed to inflation. So you have what you have. This needs inventory has nothing to do with regular products, but this identifies, and I sent to all the council and to the park board members, that detailed study made by AECOM. Next, please. Marketing. I don't need to dwell on this except to say what I mentioned to you on November the 18th. We have five myths about Fair Park that need to be dispelled. Myth one, it's unsafe. It is not. It is one of the safest areas. Jubilee Park is one of the safest zip codes in Dallas. Inside Fair Park, it is far safer than some North Dallas major mall areas. But that's not the perception. We've got to overcome that. Next, it's inaccessible. How more accessible do you want? It's got two major highways and two DART stations, not just one. It's not clean. It is clean. But if you don't have the staff during the non-state fair time, it's hard to keep it clean. Third, what about the neighborhoods around it? Go to Jubilee Park. See what Anna Hill and Andrea Lyons has done to Mill City and Dolphin Heights. Those projects are on the move, so we shouldn't hang our head, but there's more to be done. The 80th anniversary brought out a lot of new customers and visitors to Fair Park. Next, please. Improved transportation and access. The other thing that I would add that I didn't mention earlier is a circulator. Because if we're going to get you to come to DART and we let you off the MLK station, you're probably not going to walk in the rain or if it's really hot or really cold. So we've got to think about a circulator system to make it user-friendly. And those parking lots need to have a user app. We need to prioritize them. Maybe you can park freeway over here. Or if you want a valet park, you pay more, et cetera. Parking lots occupy 65% of Fair Park. Next, please. Final strategy, continue improving through a strategic plan. A balanced approach between consensus planning and financial feasibility, that's what we need. The last thing we would ever consider, last thing we do, is not having massive public input before we freeze plans and designs. So gather the input, analyze it, conceptualize the design, then raise the money and get after it. But also think about endowment so we don't make the same mistakes they made in 1936. Next, please. Management fee. It always comes down to the money. Right now, the city of Dallas is putting about $11+ million into Fair Park. If you multiply that by 20 years, that's $222 million that you all are going to spend, or more with inflation, or if we have three major events like we've already had this year, where water lines break, where the chiller in the aquarium goes out, or whether the bike rodeo has a problem because the air conditioning went out. So the foundation is proposing $16.7 to $22.7 million. And we ask that of you November the 18th, a much larger number. And I had a budget that basically justified that. And where that money was going to go to was new project development. Who's going to build a road along the northern boundary called the Fair Park Boulevard, landscape it, and integrate it with the tank? It's going to be very difficult to do that with private funding only. Need some public money. There is no admission fee charged in Fair Park. None. That's not the case with the Arboretum or the zoo. So that is the main difference about needing significant funding. And Fair Park is a much more complex organization. So we're asking for an increase of 5.6 to 11.6 million. And I would like to remind those that have come up with numbers of 600 billion, 800, 1 billion, 1.2 billion is the cost of this. Each year you determine in your budgetary process whether you're going to fund that management fee. If anything, that's an advantage to you, but it's a detriment in terms of long-term financial planning for the foundation. Next, please. Okay, this is a nitty-gritty chart, but basically what I tried to do is show what it's going to be like in 2017, and then because the park board, when I was out of town, they cut back that year 2020 by $2 million. So I cut this off at 2019 at only $20.7 million, but I hope and pray that we get that reinstated with CPI. But this shows you that even with that enhanced budget in 2019, only $3 million are allocated to new projects. And I have for contingencies down at the very bottom about $2 million for needed projects where the air conditioning system goes out, or there aren't public funds available yet or in sufficient quantity. So that's the overall budget we have. And it's been there, and it's been submitted to the city. They reviewed it, and that's why they penciled this in, and that's been there for months. Finally, the next slide, the capital plans. This is an extremely important point. And what I had suggested originally is first $25 million the city puts up, and that goes for security, safety, and those critical items. Well, that number is $32 million, so already we have a gap. So if you were to ask the question, what are you going to do with increased funding? We've got a challenge right there on the front end in terms of timing. But so $75 million would be raised by the city, $50 million matching by the foundation, and the foundation would spend that money on new projects and other, but the city's money would only go on existing buildings and projects. And I would like to make the formal request again, Mr. Mayor, $25 million in your streets budget for East Grand and for MLK and those corridor streets, and for $5 million for the flood. And once again, this is subject to city annual approval and voter approval. Next part. Finally, we're ready to start work, hopefully in August 29 with this briefing, and that you will call for a vote sometime this month. With that, we'd sign a management agreement, and then we'd try to hustle to do the transition work, accounting systems and HR systems and all the rest of that, and hit the ground running on January 1, foundation. And then in 2017, we have developed the strategic plan with public input and so forth, and then we have our marching orders and can go forward. And with that, thank you for the opportunity to speak. And if you don't mind, I'll just sit down and
please
take questions, or maybe field them from here. But if it requires some material, that I can refer over here. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Heumann. We will open it up for comments, questions. Okay. Thank you very much. Meeting's adjourned.
Right. Oh, you guys.
Oh, you do want to talk. Okay. There we go. Mr. Callahan.
Well, that's unusual, me going first. I usually go last, but I was afraid you were going to cut us off and adjourn the meeting, so I thought I'd better get my act together. I first want to say, Mayor, thank you for your leadership, and I earnestly mean that. There's really many others to thank, you know, Mr. Heumann, and I know the park board, my park board member, many others, but your leadership with the direction that we've been taking this has really been key. And I want to make it clear right up front that I'm in support of the park board recommendation of pursuing a privatization agreement for Fair Park. To me, it just makes sense. I mean, it's a park for all the people, and it just really has a nice ring to it. And the recommendations that's been made, you know, with the yeah, I can list them here, management, maintenance, and operation, marketing of Fair Park. You know, that's really what it's all about. I think, obviously, it's always going to be challenging to get enough money, and to do there'll never be enough money. But I think the fact is that we've got a plan, a strategic plan in place, you know, goes a long way. And I've been here my whole life, born in Dallas. Many of you know that, and raised in Mesquite, just miles away, but my fondest memories are going to that Fair Park, and I have some great memories and some of the great features that used to be there that are even no longer there, but it's always had my attention, and I've always told everybody if I were to have only one day, if I were to pick you up at the airport and go, show me Dallas, I would make sure that probably the first place that I drove from DFW or Love Field would be to Fair Park. That's just I have that kind of a love affair. And, Craig, I know I know you have that love affair, too. You grew up in Dallas, and many of us that grew up here. It was just when it was fair season, I got my lawn mowing money together. I kept in a brass cup, and I counted how much I had because I'm going to the fair. It was a great place to go. But I've watched over the years, and my beautiful Fair Park, you know, it's had improvements, you know, fits and starts over time, but I've just watched it deteriorate to the point where it's not really the same place. Some things have been improved, but many things have not been improved. But I would love to see us go forward and just have this new envisionment. You know, I think that's really what I think the citizens really want. I think everything is here, too. You know, the business inclusion and diversity plan. Those that are opposed to the privatization, you know, they say, why rush? First off, who says it has been? I mean, really. This fair is 130 years old, and we've been talking about this, I guess, since I've been on council, Mayor, and I'm sure you probably had some ideas before that. But I don't see any reason to wait any longer. The fair is even older than 130. I think we had a North Texas Agriculture Fair, and I was doing a little research over the weekend. Even Doc Holliday, I think he won 3 dental awards over there, you know, the famed gambler and, you know, dentist that was at 56 Elm Street in Dallas. So we have a lot of history in this city, and I think the fair is just so emblematic of that. So, you know, it's taken 2 to 3 years to get to this point. Mr. Heumann, I really admire what you've done and those working with you have done, and I really think that we've come up with a good plan. And I think, you know, privatization leads to a new vision, and a newer, smaller board quickens the approval process. I think we all recognize that. And then those 9 clearly represent, you know, diversity, inclusion, and plus a lot of talent. Then also those on the 11-member advisory board is more of the same. It's very diverse, you know, lots of talent, you know, and it's very inclusive. And it really enhances and seeks to build a signature park. You know, we're just not talking about doing some lightweight lifting here. We're really talking about doing some great things. I love the fact that, you know, it enhances the access, you know, through DART and pedestrian and bicycle access, extra ways to get into the park. I would love to see a streetcar come right down to Exposition. That's the way things used to be. Signage will improve. Marketing will be enhanced. More dollars there for that community engagement. I've seen that from day one. A better balanced strategic plan and also a way to get more money in the park. I think we loosen those strings. We get this 9-member board working together. Takes the fear factor away. I know many in the philanthropic community, they're concerned about if I put my money in the hopper right now, the city of Dallas will kind of gobble it all up in a general operating budget. Well, not so if we have it, you know, dedicated to this signature park. I'll close with just saying I think the plan is bold. I think the plan is insightful. It's creative. It's strategic. A lot of listening has been done. There's been a lot of meetings, Lord, lots of meetings. Lots of time has been spent, you know, and a lot of goals have been set. And really all we need is the approval and let this group go to work, Mayor. That's what I would like to see. Time is of the essence. You know, the buildings, as we speak, they're dripping with water. We've got old air conditioners. We've got old parking lots. We need wayfinding. We need a lot of stuff over there. But I urge my colleagues to join me in supporting this. There's really no reason to wait. Let's get started. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Callahan. Mr. Clayton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Nice to see you again, Mr. Heumann. So I think most on this council can agree that status quo isn't good enough. Sorry. You mentioned that you wanted to dispel a notion that all you wanted to do is fix old buildings, and that you said that the number one priority is to do the green space, to do the signature park. Where because I can't find it, where specifically is it in your budget or in the contract that we've been provided that you're already allocating money towards a signature park?
Okay. So the question was, where in the budget is the what I call seed capital money for that park?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have the budget available? Let me just mention that all we have in the year 2017 is $250,000. That's all that has been identified for that. So we're going to have to try to get a lot of volunteer and pro bono help to help flange up that conceptual plan. Normally, we should have $3 or $4 million.
Okay, just in the interest of time, so $250,000. Okay.
Did that answer your question?
No, sir. Well, yes, sir. It does that. You also listed your capital inventory needs and what, if you got your $75 million in the bond program, what you would spend it on. So, you know, there's priority one, there's priority two, priority three, priority four.
Right.
How much of the $75 million, if you get your money, if you get your $75 million in bond funds, how much of the $75 million is your board going to guarantee towards the development of a signature park?
The city is putting up $75 million in bonding, and that will not go at all. None of those funds would go to the family park or the grand park that we're talking about. Grand park would be financed 100% by outside non-city donations, except if you give us this budget approval, then we'll have some seed capital to help make that possible. You can't go into a donor.
Just answer my questions, please. Okay. Sorry, just because I'm in the interest of giving everybody time. You said that you wanted to dispel the myth that you wanted to do more than fix up old buildings. The number one goal of the park department, the park board, and your group is to develop a signature park that the community can use, where you have $250,000 in the first year allocated towards a community park. But everything I've read, and I'm not being critical, I just want to know the answer to the question, if you get $75 million in bond funds plus another $8 million a year on top of what you're getting now, there's still not anything that you're going to allocate towards a signature park. How can you say it's the number one priority of the foundation if there's not any money going towards it?
Sir, that's not true. For the signature park, for the community park along Cullen Boulevard, we've allocated $3 million in the year 2019. Prior to that, to do conceptual planning, it's $250,000. I think we can do a credible conceptual plan for that. Now, do we have the $30 to $35 million it will cost for that signature park in the budget? No. We've got to go raise that money from private sources.
Okay, I'll take it at face value. I guess here's where I'm getting to this. One of the things I've been frustrated in this process is you and I have had three meetings, and I said, Mr. Heumann, I will do my best job, and I'll list you. Here's my seven things that need to get done to get my buy-in on this project, one of which was a signature community park. Right now, if we do this, we're going to spend $3.5 million in city money to go to the Cotton Bowl for the plaza in front. We're going to spend $2 million paving around the music hall, $3.1 million to fix the swine building, and $400,000 on the old mill end that never makes a profit. But yet we can't put any money whatsoever towards actually building a signature park. So in the 5 years to 10 years, or however long it takes to get the signature park finally funded, which says it's the number one priority, but it's more like not the number one priority, then all the citizens who live around the area are going to get is the same that they've always gotten. How do you reconcile turning over that much city funding when your number one priority is not funding the city park?
Are you asking for the foundation to absolutely guarantee, after 30 years of non-performance on the city of Dallas, that we magically will be able to raise quickly $30 million and tell you today?
No, sir, that's not what I'm...
That money is available?
No, sir, that's not what I'm asking you. What I'm asking you is, if we're going to give you $8 million more a year than we're currently putting into Fair Park, and you're going to ask us for $75 million in bond funding, what I'm asking you is to make that park a priority. And right now, I understand you have to get money in private funding. I get that. I also get, you know, where you'll say, like, priority three and priority four, that the private sector is going to do. All I'm asking is, if we're going to say it's a number one priority, it needs to be a number one priority. And spending $9 million on the Cotton Bowl Plaza, swine building, old mill end.
I'm sorry, sir, that there's no increase. I have asked for no increase for the Cotton Bowl. None. That is carryover funding. The only thing is a marketing specialist that spends all day long in trying to fill that cotton bowl and better utilize it. If you look at the numbers there on cotton bowl,
sir,
it starts at $2.08 million.
Mr. Huben,
and stays at $2.08 million.
Go ahead and let Mr. Clayton speak.
I'm looking at the numbers you guys gave me. You said a priority A need that if you get the city's money is $3.5 million to go to the paving of the front area of the cotton bowl. And I can come back to that. I guess my point is there's $9 million that I found that if we're really going to engage the community, I think we should shift the focus and apply $9 million towards a signature park, which can actually break concrete, as opposed to fixing the swine building, the old mill inn, and the cotton bowl area, and the paving around the music hall, before we do something that actually shows ground being broken for the citizens. That's all I'm asking. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Hi, Walt.
Hi.
Hi. And we are not going to beat you up. We're just going to ask some questions.
Sure.
Okay.
Great.
Okay. I was also looking at the capital needs inventory, and the yellow highlighted sections, are those the ones that will be done, attempted to be done out of that first $75 million? Maybe Mr. Winters can answer that.
Hang on just a second. Let me get the light.
Ms. Grayson, the sections in yellow, the highlight, that if you're looking at this document,
yes.
Does that look familiar? Those are those do not indicate when the projects will be done or what priority they're in. Those indicate basically that this is our own internal code of items that came from our longstanding needs inventory. So this was just an internal mechanism
for
us to keep track of things.
It's an internal department list of the things you think are the most important?
No, ma'am, they're not.
No.
These are just off of our updated Fair Park needs inventory, and we're differentiating them from items that came from the resident institutions that they brought to our attention and Mr. Heumann's attention that are not color-coded, and
okay,
they also
why,
differentiated.
Why are the yellow ones highlighted, Willis? Why are the yellow ones? Why are the some of them highlighted in yellow? That indicated to me a priority.
Okay.
No.
It does not. It's not a priority. Those do not. The color doesn't indicate a priority. It was used just internally so we could keep track of different requests from different sources.
May I answer it this way? And also for Mark's good question, there. This needs inventory is prepared by the Park Department. They brought in an independent consultant, and that just deals with existing assets. Has nothing to do with new projects like the Children's Park or greening up part of the Music Green or doing a whole host of other new things.
Okay.
This is just taking that.
Okay. I think that was, confusing. However, let me just say that as I looked through the capital needs inventory, I saw about $20 million for parking lot repair, repaving of parking lots.
Right.
Which I guess I've got to say, I would hope that that is not going to be one of our priorities. I think we should tear up those parking lots and use them for a park because.
I agree. And what that is why I asked them to put this in priorities. And I think if you look at the parking lots, that is not in a priority one, two, or even three, except in unusual cases. And so that is the last expenditure if we have public funds to fund it. And then I did have a very small amount of about $2 million for critical items that come up, and we don't have bond funding to pay for it.
Well, I'm glad I asked because that helped clear that up for me because I surely didn't want to see us spending money to repave parking lots. As a matter of fact, if we're going to repave parking lots, I think that ought to be a state fair expenditure and not a city expenditure because they're the ones that use the parking lots. I did want to talk about the size of the park. I tend to agree that so far what we've seen in terms of the park pushing back the park toward the lagoon, I don't think that's big enough. I just don't. I think that, you know, you'd compare it to Clyde Warren, Walt, but that's a smaller area. I mean, this is 277 acres, so I think we can contain a much larger park within that 277 sure. acres. So I would like to see a bigger park proposed. And then also, I am concerned about the funding. In many other instances, fixing things up depends on bond dollars and city dollars, but you're saying you want to raise private funds for the park. And really, the way it reads to me is that unless those private funds are forthcoming, we will not have a park. And so why not make that a priority? And also the language in there that says that the park is the park board's top priority, why don't we make it, and I think Mr. Clayton said that, the foundation's top priority.
It is.
So that we know that there's unanimity, I think I said that right, about that's what people want. They want that park.
Sure.
So that's one of my concerns, and I am a little concerned about the fact that the city would spend $50 million in bond funds, if I read this correctly, before any private funds would start being expended. Because in the first tranche of bond sales, you guys don't have to have any private money. It's $25 million, second tranche, $25 million, and then yours kicks in. No?
No. First 25 is a city.
Right.
And my thought there was to address those critical items, safety, security.
Mm-hmm.
Now, unfortunately, that 25 has grown to 32 million. Okay. So after that, then it is an equal matching.
Yeah, but not until the city spends the next 25 million tranche.
Well, not necessarily. That 25 million doesn't get spent until our 25 million gets raised.
So on the second tranche of funds for the first bond program,
right,
and none of us will probably be around here for the second bond program, so I don't think we right. can bind that. But on that first one, it says 25 million city, nothing foundation. Second tranche, 25 million city, 25 million foundation. So yes. you're saying that after we spend $25 million, if the bond program passes, then we'll get $25 million from private dollars before we spend the second tranche of $25 million, right?
That's right.
That's not how I read it.
Right. See, first 25, city. Second 25, foundation raised 25. And if they do that, then that next tranche of 25 gets spent on existing buildings, not on new projects. And then the third tranche, foundation matching city funding.
Okay, and I also want to mention in relation to the bond program, and I think you and I will disagree about this, Walt, I want to see this be a standalone proposition in the park, in the bond proposal and not rolled up into other park items. I think there should be park proposition and then a fair park proposition. So I'm not going to be supportive of bond dollars unless it's a separate proposition in the bond program for fair park.
Sandy, would you clarify that? In other words, I understand what you're saying about the priority of what we call the family park along Cullen Boulevard. That's what you're referring to, not the overall park.
We got it.
It's
just the way that it's going to be on the ballot.
I'm talking about anything related to your proposal with Fair Park is going to be, I would hope, a separate proposition. Unlike neighborhood parks and other things that the park department has on their needs inventory list, I'm going to want to see it as a separate bond proposition to indicate fully the city's support for it.
Got it.
Okay. Let's see. I'm running out of time. I've got another question here.
We can come back around.
Yeah, but then I only get 5 minutes.
No.
So I'm going to be a little bit more flexible. Take the rest of my time. Okay. I didn't see anything in here with the State Fair contract. We had all these other things, South Dallas Fair Park Trust Fund. We had all this background information, but the page was blank under State Fair contract. So my question on that is that when is it in effect until, Walt? How long does the State Fair contract that is currently in effect, how long does that last?
2028.
Right. So can anything change about what's currently done with the State Fair until 2028? Do we have to wait that long before we can change anything?
No.
No.
Absolutely not. And as I've said repeatedly, I have had absolutely terrific support and discussions with the State Fair. I am totally confident that they will do what they said they would do, and that is, now that they realize the big picture, they're going to put on a Fair Park hat in addition to their State Fair hat. What I mean by that is to look broader than the boundaries of just the State Fair. The Children's Park, the Family Park, the Grand Park, when that was suggested at the Park Board meeting on May 5th, there was one big pushback at all from anyone in the State Fair about, well, you've pushed the paywall back. I'm hoping through good consensus planning between the State Fair and the Foundation that we can push that paywall back to maybe even the lagoon, like
former chairman. Not big enough. Okay. Not big enough.
The answer is yes. I am very confident that we do not have to wait for 2028. There's a lot that can be done.
Thank you. I'll save the rest of my questions. I only have 24 seconds. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson. Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. And thanks for our wonderful City of Dallas staff, our Park Board staff, and to you, Mr. Heumann, for all your hard work on this agreement. My first question is about the board members on the foundation. I would really like to see all Dallas residents on there. Everyone who...
I'm sorry, I didn't get the question.
I would like to see all Dallas residents on the board.
All but one.
If not, I would like a promise from that person within a year of going on the board, he'll move to Dallas. It's a great place to live. I'd also like to see more people from Southern Dallas. I think over time, the City of Dallas, the State Fair, have failed Fair Park, both of them. And one reason is because we need to have more representation from the neighborhood. We need to have more people in Southern Dallas on this board. For me, having just one or two is not enough. I'd like to see at least four people on the board, and I think there's more than four in Southern Dallas. Many more than that could do it. So I'd like to know why only the requirement of one, and why only have two people from Southern Dallas on this board. Why not increase the number of people on Southern Dallas on this board?
The Park Board edicted that at least one would be from the surrounding community. We recruited two. But in addition, I created the advisory board to do just exactly what you're talking about. And now there are four additional people that are going to be sitting around that horseshoe when we deliberate. So that's six out of 20.
I want them to have a vote. I want the people of Southern Dallas and those the four people that I would like them to all to live in the South Dallas neighborhood to have a seat at the big table, not at the other table, the big table. Your seat's at the big table. You've got a seat at the big table. And the community does, too, because it's just strange. You're writing an agreement, and you have this. And the Park Cities have as many seats as the people that live around Fair Park and South Dallas. And to me, that's not right. We need more people from South Dallas, from Southern Dallas, on this board. That's the way you build a community. You've got to get that kind of buy-in. It can't be just... Can't be people coming down, crossing the river, and going back home. I want some people before the meeting and after meeting go to their home, and they're staying on one side of the river. That's what makes things work. That's what makes this Dallas City Council work. That's what makes this city work. And that's what's been missing from Fair Park. So I think we give that a try, we'd find out it would work. My next issue would be, I'm going to touch on the State Fair contract. I really believe that all excess revenue that the State Fair brings in needs to go into the buildings that the State Fair is maintaining. The State Fair of Texas is getting a huge windfall in this agreement. I go through all the priorities. I see all these buildings that are some of them exclusively used by the State Fair, some nearly exclusively used by the State Fair, some used by the State Fair mostly. And then the City of Dallas taxpayers are asked to fix up the buildings in their entirety. I would like to see in the agreement with the State Fair, and I think now's the time that we could change this while we have a very public process, that the State Fair of Texas uses its excess revenue to fix up these buildings that only the State Fair uses.
Guys, I appreciate every once in a while applauding is good, but let's not do it. Let's just keep going.
I'll try to make so the remarks aren't such a hit. I'll try to switch sides and positions.
We could do
that. That's
what
I'll do. Then we could do
that.
We could
do like this.
We could do that. I'm sorry, man. I don't want to outshine you.
We got a lot to do.
All right. So my next issue would be on transparency. I know, Mr. Heumann, you value transparency and accountability as much or more than I do. And so on that issue, why not have this foundation embrace all of the Texas Open Meetings Act, not just the minimum of having to respond to public information requests? Why not open up your meetings and even take it one step further? Just record your meetings and put them up at DallasCityHall.com on the website. It makes for much better government. And one aspect of what we have going on right now with the public is the public lacks trust in the way the City of Dallas and the State Fair of Texas have run Fair Park for so many years. Why don't you help to pull back that veil, pull back that curtain, and show that we can have trust and accountability and accept all the Texas Open Meetings Act and even go one step to record your meetings?
You want a response?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. First of all, we're subject to the Open Records Act. And so everything that we do is subject to scrutiny. Number two, all of the proceedings of those board meetings will be made public, put on our website, so everyone can see. Third, we're following in good company. That is, the zoo, Clyde Warren Park, the Arboretum, do not have board meetings in which all of the press and all the public can participate. We don't have kind of logistics or the security resources, but what we would like to do, and I'll present to our board when it is convened, is to have at least one meeting a year that's open to the total public, and it's not just where you have an open meeting where there's silence on the part of the press and the public, but actually it's a two-way dialogue. So we give an annual report, and then basically we see what the community has to think, and from all quarters. So.
Well, for me, that doesn't take it far enough. If there's nothing to hide, then I think you should open up all the meetings. Being subject to just the open records requests versus all of TOMA is a big distinction. And so even though other groups haven't done it, I know that you realize the politics are much different with this. This issue is much different. It would be a great opportunity to lead. I would ask, at a minimum, would you agree to putting in a no-excuse open records plan, so when people file open records requests, you don't claim everything under the sun as proprietary trade secret, economic data, secret with the City of Dallas, secret with the State Fair of Texas?
That's our present stand. Obviously, we want to be transparent, and we are.
Would you put that in writing, then? If I propose some language in there, would you support that?
We have in Section 904 of the agreement our subjection to the Open Records Act.
Are you willing to put in a no excuse section?
Right. We'd put that in writing as well. Sure.
So you have it in there?
But not be subject to the Open Meeting Act with all the unintended consequences that requires.
The unintended consequence of having the public involved is never a bad thing. It's a fantastic thing. So I disagree with you on that. Yeah. I'm going to go on the next subject.
I understand that.
Now, Mr. Heumann, looking at your priorities, under priority one, how many dollars are going to the park?
Priority one? Are you talking about in the needs
capital
assessment?
Improvement plan, yes. Exhibit, I think it's 303.
That's 32 million has been identified by the park department and their consultant.
Going for the signature park element.
Oh, signature park.
For the under priority one.
Right. $250,000 is what I had in there in 2017.
Priority two.
Priority two.
Is there any money in priority two? It's the second column adjacent to priority one column.
Yeah. With, in the next phase of 2017, you up the amount, and the new projects goes to $1 million.
For the signature park?
Sir?
For the signature park.
For the signature park and other new improvements in Fair Park. In other words, we have the opportunity perhaps
why don't you
to
move
the
that to priority one
and convert it to a planetarium and an information.
Why don't we move the signature park to priority one? Make it the most important thing. People want a park, and they want the walls taken down, and they want to visit this park. And I hear you say the park is the most important thing to you. It's the most important thing to the board, all this. But, then, I mean, there's the saying, you got to put your money where your mouth is. So we need to move the money for the park to priority one. It needs to be at the top of the list.
I can say it. I have said it. It is priority one.
Then,
we're going to go and try to develop
then make it more than $250,000. Put it in there. Put $250,000 plus the money to get things started. Make the whole thing the reality. Make it a top priority. And I'll have more in round two. Thank you very much, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Griggs. Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to thank Willis and staff for the briefing and Ms. Humer for your work on this. First, I want to make a few comments. Historically, there's been a lack of trust within the African-American community in the city of Dallas, right, and specifically the Fair Park South Dallas community. And because of that, there is a healthy skepticism about this agreement. There's been a lot of lip service and not much true service to the community. And because of that, it's really important that you continue listening. You listen to us, but you listen specifically to those who live in the Fair Park South Dallas community. My first question is, you talked about the zoo in Clyde Warren Park. How is this agreement similar, and then how is it different from those agreements?
How is our agreement different from
right.
Clyde Warren Park?
And the zoo.
I'm sorry, sir.
And the zoo. The zoo.
What?
The Dallas Zoo.
The Dallas Zoo. Well, the Dallas Zoo has about a $14 million annual fee that they're being paid plus. And Clyde Warren Park basically is self-funded. And they are surrounded by buildings, and they have a tax increment financing situation where they're providing some of their funding. We don't have that option around Fair Park in that you have it primarily residential neighborhoods.
Okay. My next question is about, with this agreement, MWBE. There was an amendment that was submitted by my park board member regarding this. Were we currently on the status of MWBE? And then I have a couple of other questions on those in those ones.
Good question. All of Fair Park employs about 300 people full-time. The foundation, when it becomes operating, has about 48 employees, and we hope over the next 3 years to increase that by another 42. So we have 90 new individuals in the park, so that's an employment opportunity. Secondly, if the bond funding comes through, then there will be improvements in the buildings so that contracts for the MWBE type activity. That, and I would say this, as I mentioned in the slides earlier, I think we can beat the city of Dallas in terms of its performance and the good faith effort.
Is there a certain percentage that you believe you can beat it, a certain percentage in those areas that you would like to see in this agreement?
Well, we will conform in spirit and in fact to the bid process that the city of Dallas has agreed to. And what I'm saying is I think we can do better.
Okay. And there's a document that Mr. Jenkins and I have been discussing. I'd like to meet with you on that regarding MWBE. And my last question is, how can you assure the residents, many of them who are here, many of them I know go to church in South Dallas community. How can you assure that with this development, the South Dallas Fire Park community and residents benefit from
it? How can we ensure that they...
How can you assure that they will benefit from this?
Okay. Number one is that if the city, if you agree those for those additional funds coming in on the main corridors, MLK, East Grand, and so forth, that would do a tremendous amount in that community for revitalizing some of those businesses along those corridors. Number two, I just mentioned that we do have employment opportunities and also contract opportunities, and that without violating, I guess, the law, that we would be open to contracts and start basically in those communities and work out and see if there are skills available in those that can be employed. They're all open, and we will publish this, and hopefully a job fair will have good feedback from the community itself.
There's something, the SM Wright project that they've put together, where they've trained a number of people and offered training for a number of people in the South Dallas community to be able to go to work. Would you be willing to create opportunities in whatever type of development to take place for the residents of South Dallas community to be able to be trained and also to work to improve their own community?
Right. I endorse what you just said, and then I want to mention one other thing. I hope that we can attract some other partners like we did in Jubilee Park into the MLK, Mill City, and Dolphin Heights, because they've got great leadership locally there, but they need money, and they need more volunteers to come into that community and address the community in a comprehensive way. You can't just come in and build a few houses. It's got to be anti-crime, housing, employment, economic development, and that's what we're trying to do in Jubilee Park.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Thomas. Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mayor. And thank you all. Thanks for coming and presenting this and all your hard work leading up to today. I have a couple questions, and I think some of them might you be able to address, and then I think I may need some from Willis. I think we all have to kind of step back and say, what were we trying to do with this agreement? What this agreement is, and what is gonna, how it's gonna help us. You know, what are our goals for this new agreement when it's in place, and what it doesn't do? And I think we as a city are wanting it to be the solution for the revitalization of the whole South Dallas. Are we wanting it, or the neighborhoods around? Or are we just looking to be able to properly manage Fair Park? So I think that's kind of a discussion, I mean, a question directly at Willis. I mean, it came out of these visions in the past, or what are you wanting to achieve with this agreement?
What I'd like to achieve is, first of all,
that
she asked
I want Willis.
She asked Willis.
I can't see Willis, so it's hard. I can't tell if he's looking or not looking. But, I mean, what were you trying to achieve with this agreement? Bringing a vision to that we've seen from the mayor's task force to fruition, or were you trying to revitalize the community, or what was, why did you start seeking that we needed to get to where we are today?
Ms. Gates, going back to the broad goals established by the Mayor's Fair Park Task Force, I think was definitely the starting point. And those, you know, they identified that Fair Park was inadequately funded and needed additional funding.
Willis, we're going to ask you to step up there. Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it is hard. It's hard to, when you can.
We've got a lot of papers all spread out here separately.
No.
So going back to the Mayor's Fair Park Task Force, they were charged with examining the future of Fair Park. There was, I think, a perception that there was a disorganization from all of the different institutions and different contracts reporting to different city departments. For example, there were three different city departments that had authority and responsibilities at Fair Park. And I think there was a very strong desire to consolidate all of those authorities and responsibilities under one organization with one umbrella. And I think that's what this contract gives us the opportunity to do. There is also a lot of talk about Fair Park reaching its full potential for the South Dallas Fair Park neighborhood and also for the entire city and the region. Fair Park is a visitor and venue park, an activity and event park, more than it is a community park. And I think there was a very strong desire, which we support, to transform park, to find the balance between visitors and the community.
And you think this helps us do that?
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And then currently, how much money, I know we have revenues associated with the expenses that the city expends currently in Fair Park, but what, so net-net, what are we expending minus the revenues? What's it costing? I know it does. The revenues are not supporting what it costs to run the park.
Correct.
So what right now we spend about...
Right now, the city's budget, both Park Department, EBS, and Office of Cultural Affairs, is about $11.19
million.
That's a total budget. Of that amount, the majority, the big majority of that is the Park and Recreation Department, about $10.7 million. So in addition to that, there are some revenues that come
that
in.
That offset that expenses.
Pardon?
That offset some of this $10 million?
So Park Department is $10.7
million. Right.
The total, including Office of Cultural Affairs, cultural program funding and utilities.
Is all 11.1.
Is 11.19.
But do we have any revenues that help?
We do. We have revenues.
About 10.65.
Yeah, our revenues are about... $2.27 million right next year. They're going to go up a little bit because we have additional revenues coming in from rentals and leases. So those revenues will also be retained by the foundation. So the foundation, the first year management fee, if you don't prorate it because it's going to start January 1st versus October 1st, would be comparing it to the $11.19 million. The foundation management fee would be, let's call it $16.7 million. And then, of course, we prorated out the first quarter. So that's an increase of about $5.5 or $5.6 million to the foundation. That allows them to hire more staff. We have about 58 staff total at Fair Park. It probably needs to be two or three times that to adequately
okay.
Manage and operate and maintain Fair Park.
So
for example, let me give you one example. We have one electrician, one plumber, two electricians for 1.9 million square feet of buildings and a 92,000 seat stadium. The foundation would greatly increase those kinds of maintenance staffs. Also, we have no marketing department at Fair Park, no development department. The foundation, this increase in budget allows them to do that.
Okay. Mr. Human, now I think I have some questions for you. So the goal was to help with the management, not because you see that we have weakness and we haven't been properly managing the property. I mean, I that's what I believe too, is that we're not managing it well currently. We don't have good oversight of our current contracts.
Ms. Gates, I think we do a heck of a job
for the little resources, but that's explaining why it's going to cost us a lot more under this new proposal. So why the escalating costs? Why can't, if we're going to be able to maximize the rentals and make it more successful, why are you asking us to pay more in management fees over time?
There's no reason why we can't make them more productive, but first of all, you've got to get them into leasable condition, the existing buildings you're talking about. But new venues, new projects and activities, basically.
Right, but that, I understand where you're asking. That would be in the capital expenses, but just the pure management, it's going to cost.
Right.
You have an escalating management cost. So, shouldn't you have escalating revenues going associated with the park going forward?
yes, but everyone that I have talked to and they have said what we would like the park to be is a place for people, and so you don't charge people to use that space right there for picnic or for quiet enjoyment is the way I describe it. So it's a blend between revenue-generating functions and places to really make, as many of the people are correctly saying, make it a signature park that is known throughout the nation. This community park that we're talking about here along Cullen Boulevard, that's free and accessible. And it has to be operated and maintained properly.
All right, a couple more questions because I'm running out of time. Why have you guaranteed that we're going to protect all the current employees? How was that negotiated? Like, unlike the zoo where they said everybody's going to have to reapply.
Why have we guaranteed what?
That all the current employees related to Fair Park are retaining their jobs.
Well, my assessment in talking to the management is that we've got a good cadre of employees who are understaffed and underfunded. But I thought it was the best of both worlds.
Okay.
We'd like to attract them, but if they don't want to come, they have a job in the park department.
And then when you talked about a performance plan, and I think it was on page 16, when do you see that you will create a performance plan with metrics? When will that be made public?
Okay, good question. So in 2017, we would develop the indicators and how you're going to measure the indicators. It is a slam dunk to provide financials. Auditors can do that, accountants and so forth. It is more difficult to count visitors. The State Fair can count visitors. The Music Hall can count visitors. But what about you and your family coming out there on a Sunday afternoon and going to the park? Seems to me we need to count those people too. So how do you do that? And so this first year, 2017, not only identify the indicators, but the devices and the systems to measure performance. And so then in 2018, you have a baseline year of those indicators, and you measure that. And that's the baseline to measure performance from.
So we won't see it until after a year.
2019.
I think we're really at a crossroads right now, because I think what we're doing now is not working. We all want status quo to change. We're not taking advantage of the acreage that's there, and it's not providing the kind of amenities that I think the citizens want in the area and outside of the area. We just have to, decide, is this the best way to make that happen? I mean, is it a foundation? I mean, I think we need new management. I think we're all in agreement that we can't continue to do it under the Parks Department because there's not enough resources there. We just want to make sure that it happens in the best way, that we get the kind of things in the mayor's task force plan, like the park, that we all really, really want and that we want to make happen, and that we can... and do it in a transparent manner. So I would only ask them down to my last few seconds, and I'll have a second round, but that we come up with ways. And I know you're not a government entity, and you're not subject to open records, but not necessarily open meetings. There's not any groups out there that are not government agencies that are subject to that. Right. And you'd have to have a whole other kind of department running that. But that there's ways that we can make sure that we have the kind of input from the public. If it's two meetings a year, I'd like to see something like that in the agreement, that we could all come together and that you could, talk about these performance review and what's happening, that we can make sure it's happening in an extremely transparent way. So with that, I'll finish up and keep my rest of my questions for the next round.
Thank you, Ms. Gates. Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Winters. Thank you, Mr. Heumann, for your presentation. I just want to start with, Mr. Heumann, your presentation, slide 11, if you would. There's been some discussion about not having community input, and I just had a question on the creation of the neighborhood charrette and park design. This gets into the park being first. I'd like to hear something about a date or a timeline as to when this will be created and how long it will be in effect before that can become a reality?
For the community.
And community engagement for
community
the park.
Community engagement?
Yes.
There's no reason why we shouldn't start that in year one.
Okay. That was quick.
And I appreciate any help. And also the various associations and the neighborhood organizations can help stimulate and act as the catalyst to make that happen.
Okay. I'm glad you said that, because that leads me to my next one. Going to the advisory board, again, I would like to see that either at least four members live in South Dallas and have the South Dallas zip code to ensure that they're from the community. Again, we just don't have someone flying in saying that they live there, that the individuals live in the community. so that they're on the advisory board, so they have a voice at the table.
Okay. They do.
All right.
So and you again, got six, two on the board of directors and four on the advisory board.
Three to four on the board of directors. Four people on that board. All right. And again, could you reiterate to me how we plan to follow the city's bid process?
How what?
How we're going to follow the city's bid process for NWBE?
In terms of the time that they occupy the park?
No, requirements in terms of the percentage, I guess, Mr. Winters.
Councilmember, we've got the BID is specifically mentioned in about five sections
right.
in the contract, so we do have it in there, I think, pretty solidly. It requires them to address NWBE throughout all their contracting with the city.
Okay,
to meet the city's goals.
I just wanted that to be reiterated because there was some discussion about that was not brought up and that was not part of the process. And hopefully,
Councilman, that's also in a performance indicator.
Okay, hopefully that some of those subcontractors will apply to become general contractors and not subcontractors. So wanted to reiterate that. On page 13 of your plan, Mr. Heumann. I'm sorry, slide 13. Talk about
page
the development of the 12-month marketing plan. How, Mr. Winters, for our parks department, are parks a large generator of revenue, just the parks themselves?
For the park system?
Park system, yes.
Yes, we have considerable revenue each year, Mr. Wilson, that we contribute to the city's general fund, and also we retain a small portion of it to fund improvements in the park system.
It seems to me we're down to two different views. And we agree that as a city, we have not done a great job in managing Fair Park. I think everyone agrees that. No disrespect to the hardworking citizens, but we've not done a great job of marketing ourselves and ensuring that we take full access or make full access of the potential of Fair Park. So we agree that the city of Dallas is not doing the best, but it appears that we're either deciding, as it was said before, you so stated that we're not talking about buildings or we're talking about a park. So the two different sides is who's building a park and who's building buildings. Now, if you look at what it will take, I didn't hear anything, speaking of the parks, I didn't hear anything about a fence. There was some discussion about the fence options. Could you speak upon that, whether the fence should be taken down to open up the park, or should we maintain the fence to better for our metrics to be able to count the number of individuals that come through?
Yeah, really on the issue of fencing, that's very important. When we built the Jubilee Park, we coalesced the neighbors and their children, and what they determined is it should be an open park, but it should be protected. And so the chain link, the wrought iron fence that we built was from the mom's standpoint that it was a protection mechanism, and also we had guys come out there at 2 a.m. in the morning and do wheelies on the middle of our park after we spent a lot of money in facilitizing putting grass in. Also, if you talk to the gentleman, Mr. Thompson, who is the head of security at Fair Park, he says that there are a lot of people that would like to cut through in high speed across Fair Park. So this is a way to answer your question, that moving the paywall back from where it is now on Cullen Boulevard is profoundly important. It makes it free and accessible to the people, and you can create more pedestrian entries into that present fence. But when we do the design charrette, we're going to have to really talk about the safety of kids. Kicking a soccer ball out into Cullen Boulevard is an issue, and so we really need to address that.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Who is representing the city in this negotiation?
I'm sorry, would you?
Who is representing the city in this negotiation?
The city attorney and the park department staff.
At specifically who in the attorney's office?
Christine Lanners, and Connie Tankersley.
Great. Can I get drafts and revisions to this agreement?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And if there's red lines, I'd love to see red lines with the metadata. The reason I ask is because I think that this draft has some provisions that really favor the foundation as over and against the city. And even separate and apart from the question of whether we're going to have private management, I'd like to have the provisions be as city-friendly as possible. In the whereases, the precatory language of the contract, it states that Section 252002 of the government code, that this type of agreement has an exception to open procurement. So can someone explain to me why this doesn't have to be bid or RFQ'd?
Mr. Kingston, I'm going to ask the city attorney to address that question.
Hi, I'm Christine Lanners, one of the assistant city attorneys. City is not required to competitively bid this agreement because it qualifies under one of the exemptions under state law 252.022, specifically section F. And that section provides that management services provided by a nonprofit organization to a municipal park to which the organization provided significant financial or other benefit does not have to go through the competitive bid process.
And what has the foundation contributed? It's not prospective. It's not a prospective language.
I believe that's a question more appropriate for staff.
For the benefit. What is the benefit? The benefit. What benefit does this bring?
I want to make sure I understand the question, Mr. Kingston.
I'm not entirely sure it is a question for you, Willis. The issue is for us to be able to get out of our own bidding procedures, actually not our own, the ones enforced on us by the state, there has to be, first we have, don't we also have to have an ability to do this in our charter? But regardless, if we're going to do it, they have to have provided something significant in terms of, it, like Clyde Warren, there was the money, you know? I think that has to have happened before we launch off into this, is my theory.
I think the benefit in this case and would be the exemption says financial or other benefit. So one could make the argument that other benefit would be this organization operating and privately managing Fair Park, just like the zoo and Clyde Warren and the Arboretum.
Okay, I'm going to disagree with that. I think that open government requires sunshine, and it requires competition. We always do better when we have competition. If the management of this entity is in such disarray, then I can't help but think that there could be as many as a dozen groups who might come together to submit proposals for improving it. Page 11 of the agreement, Ms. Lanners, I'd love to see if we're going to have a management fee, then we probably ought to pay that monthly. I don't care to let anybody else use our float. Page 12 of that agreement, Ms. Lanners, the bond match that the foundation is required to raise in order to get the city's bond funding can be non-cash equivalents. That's completely unacceptable. The donation from a benefactor of, for instance, his prized possession of antique automobiles simply cannot leverage the city asking voters for to go into debt. So that's going to have to be cash on the barrel head, in my opinion. On page 14, the foundation purports to put itself under, for future cultural and artistic activities at the park, put itself under the Office of Cultural Affairs system for determining where that money goes and who gets it. My question is the Cultural Affairs Commission going to get to vote on that?
Yes, sir. Mr. Kingston, my understanding is that the recommendation will go to the Cultural Affairs Commission. They will approve it or vote on it and then forward it to the foundation with their recommendation.
So why are we moving money twice? Why not just send it through the Cultural Affairs Commission and then we fund it?
Mr. Kingston, the reason is I think the foundation wants to hold the resident institutions and cultural institutions to performance, have performance measures with them as well, and wants to be able to utilize funding for them to implement.
If they're not in control of the funding, then it's just moving money twice. Or do they purport to change the outcome of a Cultural Affairs Commission vote?
I can answer that. We ask that the Cultural Affairs Agency review and stack up these cultural institutions against other institutions that the City of Dallas is supporting, and that we would take that recommendation. And our proposal was that we determine, ultimately, we have to spend the $1.3 million a year to those residential institutions, which is what they're getting now. But that we should have the authority, if we're going to try to bring everyone together and to try to influence those organizations with long-term, no-cut contracts, that is one piece of help that we can get to get everyone acting as a management team.
I didn't understand anything you just said, and I'm not trying to be rude. What I asked was, I'm really not trying to be rude, but I don't understand that at all. If we're going to move this money twice, what's the point unless it's to give the foundation the ability to change a Cultural Affairs Commission vote? Is that what you intend to do?
Early on, we debated whether to leave all of the institution funding in the City of Dallas or have the foundation assume that obligation. In the contract, we've assumed $1.3 million, okay? And that basically once a year, those organizations come to us after they have gone through the screen of the Cultural Affairs Agency and basically ask for subsidy. And it seems to us that we need some, in effect, performance review and control over those organizations so that they can be helped and nurtured.
Okay. On the performance plan, which shows up on page 16, is the park board going to get to vote on the acceptance of the performance plan?
Yes, sir. Park board will review, and it's subject to written approval by the park board on the performance plan.
Cool. Perfect. I think that that's a really healthy transparency aid on this thing. If things are so broken out there and we have one department for the front of the door and another department for the inside of the door, shouldn't the management payment go down over time? I mean, aren't y'all just basically going to substantially streamline and make the management of the park more efficient?
I proposed earlier on November 13th basically a strategy that did just that, but the park board and the budget director cut that back from $25 million flat to $17 million per year. And what I'm
but
saying
my question is, Mr. Human, shouldn't you be able to do it for less than
by.
Mr. Human, please.
Yes, sir.
Shouldn't you be able to do this job for less than $12 million? I mean, what you told us was is that we're wasting $12 million on inefficient operations and an organizational model that simply doesn't work. Yours is supposed to be excellent. The reason you're being recommended to us is because of your management experience. Shouldn't you be able to do this for less?
If you had funded it adequately for the last 30 or 40 years, the answer would be yes, but you haven't. There's a hill to climb in Fair Park. Outside donations have dried up because of the city's lack of financial commitment. We can talk about it any way you want, but it finally comes down to money.
Thank you, Mr. Human. He's out of time, and okay. You're taking his out of time.
Well, maybe I don't understand the management fee versus the capital expenditure request, because those are generally two different things. Management fees are prospective. It's the capital expenditures that were meant to climb the hill, as you say. And if those are being confused, then I have severe concern about the trajectory of this project. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Kingston. Mr. McGew.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to thank you, too, Mr. Human, for all your efforts over this time period. I'm optimistic about the process just generally. So a lot of people in this room I see that I respect, some wearing red shirts, some wearing green shirts, and I love this level of participation in this, and I think we're going to end up with a result that's better than where we started. So I appreciate your work on this so far. I want to start with the performance plan and some of the performance measures mentioned specifically in section 1.01B. Let me also take a moment, too, to discuss or to thank the park board. We watched a lot of the changes that took place, and I am thankful for almost each and every one of those edits that was made. And so it's always good when the board comes together and puts a lot of effort behind this, and I want to appreciate that as well. So when we talk about the performance plans and the performance objectives, and I saw in the presentation specifically on page 7 where it talks about stimulate economic growth throughout investment in Fair Park and the surrounding community. And so my first question is, what performance objectives do we have or does the foundation have for economic development and or public safety improvements in the area surrounding Fair Park?
Mr. McGew, there are no specific performance objectives that address economic development because it was, as far as the park board is concerned, it's outside the boundaries of Fair Park, and so they were focused totally within the boundaries of Fair Park.
Okay, so understanding that, why would we not want to include a performance metric that impacted the economic development surrounding what's in the 277 acres of Fair Park?
Well, I think part of the answer would be the foundation is focused on, again, Fair Park. It would be difficult if they don't have the funding to have a dramatic impact on anything that happens outside of Fair Park without a lot more participation from a lot more city departments, planning, strategic initiatives, infrastructure, public works.
Can I ask you, Mr. Human, as you look at this?
I'd like to comment on that. The measurement of economic development is not an easy, it's a science, but it's an art as well. And so if you have a performance matrix of economic development, what does that mean? What is your time horizon? Is it 1 year, 5 years, 10 years? What are you going to measure? Should it be only the number of unoccupied homes and vacant lots in the surrounding area, which is one criteria you could use that we use in Jubilee Park, the crime rate, economic vitality in there, how many small businesses are nurtured, today versus in the future. But I will say that this budget that I've presented to you for 2017 through 2019, it doesn't have a money in there for a study on how you would measure economic development. That's a very sophisticated, and as you probably read in the paper over the last 6 months, there's been a lot of discussion about economic development studies and how much impact there's been. So we'd have to be really thoughtful before we burden the foundation with that obligation.
I appreciate that answer, and I guess I'd defer to some of your expertise in the area to help identify some of those measures that we could include. I think one of the purposes of this revitalization of Fair Park is to support, encourage the areas around Fair Park. And when I look at the performance measures, I would like something included that at least highlighted that fact and made clear, as we've talked about from the beginning, whether it related to where we're putting the money and where we're putting the energy, that that's a goal of the foundation.
Okay. Let me also ask, on page 13 of the presentation, and this question has been asked a couple times already, and I just don't know if I completely understand the answer yet, but okay. as we talk about the management fees, and also the private funding that hopefully is used to supplement what the city is putting in this, Mr. Heumann, do we have estimates and projected estimates of what we believe would be the amount of money that we could raise privately through the foundation?
Do I have estimates? No, I have hope and expectations. The wouldn't have committed to the family park if I didn't think that that money was forthcoming. If the city performs initially and shows the outside world that things are going to be different. And I think that hopefully we'll be very surprised in additional private, non-city donations that will be forthcoming once Fair Park really gets its act together. Two main things, management and adequate funding from the public sector.
And I'm just assuming you've gone out and had discussions with potential funders and had these expectation discussions. And is there at least somewhere projected, you know, what we think we can do the first year, third year, five years out, and how we're going to leverage that? I mean, we're trying to do that from the city side, and I'm trying to understand what we're leveraging on the private side.
It's a good question, Adam. The price tag for the Cullen Boulevard, the Grand Park, $30 to $40 million. If we do that, that basically almost matches what we have contractually agreed to qualify for the additional $50 million that the city would provide. So, but have we a long-term estimate of what private funding? As I said in the presentation, I think that we can outstrip the public contribution to this over time. But we have a 30 to 40 year legacy of inaction and lack of funding that has to be overcome. I mentioned to you and to the Park Board that at my request, the Meadows Foundation convened a group of 20 top foundations. And what they said, I was pleased on one hand that they love Fair Park, and I think they're going to be willing to help. But they said, first, city has got to basically come to the table with financing, operating and capital funding.
Okay. As we look at the revenues, the potential annual revenues from Fair Park as it currently exists and our expectations of increased revenues moving forward, why was the decision made or why was the negotiation suggested that those revenues stay within the foundation budget and not revert back to the city?
Yeah, over time, that's a good point, and there's no reason why additional revenue shouldn't increase. The ones that we are identified that they're receiving now is parking, potentially sponsorships will be a very good one. Sponsorships generally involve a building and our assets there. So if we get those shaped up, we'll have some opportunities.
If I could also add to that, Mr. McGee, we currently have revenues at Fair Park, as I mentioned a moment ago, and we all of that is factored into our some of those revenues are used to address major maintenance items like fire alarm systems and paving problems, things like that. But also I just wanted to point out that when we first sat down to negotiate this contract with the foundation, the original request was for a management fee range starting at $25 million, escalating to $35 million. They were negotiated down to a range of $16.7 million to $21.7 million. So we felt that because that was such a severe difference in what was requested and what was we were willing to give them, that revenues would allowing them to keep revenues that would go into Fair Park operations and maintenance would be acceptable.
So you're trying to offset the number in the negotiation. Is that what we're trying to do there? We took money off of the original management fee, and so we're trying to add it back through earning additional revenues?
No, sir. The revenues were always part of the equation.
Okay, so I guess I still don't understand then. Why would the city not want the revenues to come back to the city? I mean, if I'm negotiating a management agreement, I want them to get fully funded and be able to manage as effectively as they can, but I want the city to be able, or my business, whatever it may be, to benefit from the additional revenues.
Well, again, we felt that Fair Park needed the funding, including the revenues, to adequately operate, maintain, and manage the park.
Okay, so how does this management agreement and this work with Fair Park benefit the Parks Department or our other community parks in other areas of the city?
How does this agreement benefit the Park Department?
Yes.
It allows Fair Park to be adequately funded, again, going from $11.19 million in our current budget to a full-year funding of $16.7 million. It allows them to be Fair Park to be adequately funded for the first time.
Thank you, Willis. Thank you, Mayor. I have more for round two.
Thank you. Mr. Kleinman.
Thank you, Mayor. I've got a couple of comments and a couple of questions. First of all, this isn't really for you, but it's for my colleague Tiffany, who's kind of led the charge on this thing for a long time. Thank you very much for your hard work on this. You've shown real leadership in this. I know it hasn't been easy, but very much appreciate you taking point on this on behalf of the council and really looking out for what we can do in Southern Dallas and South Dallas in particular. I also want to compliment the staff, Willis, I see over there, Daniel, John, you know, have worked with you guys for years on Fair Park and very much appreciate your passion for it and passion for what we can do there and getting us to this point. I also want to say thanks to my park board member, Amy Monnier, and my Office of Cultural Affairs member, Lori Stahl, who's actually able to be here today, for also putting a lot of work and effort into making sure we get an agreement that works for the city and as well for Fair Park. Let's see. I wanted to mention that for years, those of us that served on the park board have always been frustrated with the lack of organized management out there at Fair Park and recognize that that's been a problem. And I think that everybody, whatever side of whatever plan you're on, recognizes that that's kind of at the core of what we're trying to accomplish here is one organized entity that can manage the whole facility for the benefit of the city. Currently, we have a lot of organizations, and they're all rowing, but they're not rowing together. And so we're trying to bring that together, so I appreciate that. And I think part of the really inevitable goal for that, one of longer-term goals there, is 2036. So we have the Texas Bicentennial coming up. We're 20 years away. We talked about this back when we were on the park board, making sure that Fair Park is the venue for the 2036 Texas Bicentennial and show the world what Dallas has and what Dallas can do. These are some tough decisions we're making now, but thank goodness we're dealing with it now and not in 2030. okay? So we're going to get this thing sorted. We're going to get Fair Park back on track. We're going to show the world how fantastic of a venue we have there, and we're going to show the world how it's supported and helped the neighborhoods as opposed to being locked off and not part of the neighborhood. So I'm really excited about that. There's a lot of details in this plan. It's always in the details, but I feel firmly that we're going to get there. With regards to Fair Park and the neighborhoods, Fair Park is not the sole cause of all the challenges we have in South Dallas, but it's a contributor. And Fair Park is not the sole solution for everything that we need to do in South Dallas, but it can contribute as well. So I think that trying to blame the State Fair or Fair Park for all the concerns in South Dallas is not completely fair. But I do feel that Fair Park and the right plan can help do what even what Ms. Young is trying to do, which is just get this neighborhood improved, improve the quality of life in the neighborhood, show that the City of Dallas really does care about all its residents in many ways. So I'm excited about that. And now a couple of comments or suggestions. How am I doing? Okay. First of all, with regard to transparency, the plan, the agreement currently calls for compliance with the Texas Public Information Act. I would ask you to please consider just compliance with Texas Open Meetings Act. I think that is going to be important. I know there's some concerns about time and cost and money, but let's face it, the Park Board has managed Fair Park for decades under the TOMA, and I think we can do that as well. So just if you would consider that. And then I have a couple of questions regarding the cultural affairs component of it. I know we added an obligation to, well, first of all the public artwork there, which means all the murals, all the building art, and all the things like that, would always remain property of the city, and that you would work with the Office of Cultural Affairs for any modifications, changes, additions, or anything like that, and so I appreciate that. One thing I was a little concerned about is it looked like there was a reduced obligation to maintain the public art if some components of funding did not come through, and I think that it's important that kind of no matter what, we maintain those cultural components out there, and I don't know if you want to address that. Yes, Walt.
We agree with the language that I thought we negotiated, and that is conserve the public artworks. When you talk about restoring artwork that is 80 years old, you're talking about tens of millions of dollars, and that is not in this needs assessment that the Park Department prepared. So what we're saying is that we agree with you in spirit, but we do not have the resources under this contract to really guarantee absolutely that those public pieces are going to be restored as opposed to conserved and maintained.
Okay, so as far as conserve and maintain, does this contract say that they will be conserved and maintained at the current level or better, regardless of funding constraints?
Yes, but with this caveat, if some of that vouch relief on the tower building should fall to the ground because it hasn't been maintained properly, it's not just a matter of gluing it back up there. According to the historical preservation architects, this is a very sophisticated and time-consuming and expensive process. We don't have those funds. We have no funds except that small amount that I've allocated for contingencies and new projects and old projects. We don't have any funds to do that.
So I guess I'll get with the city attorney. I want to just maybe really look at the language that says that the foundation will conserve and maintain at the current levels the art and the thing. The other question I have about is the other thing Mr. Kingston was also kind of asking about was the funding that currently is coming through OCA and that y'all are going to redistribute to these organizations. A fair amount of that funding is actually for maintenance of their buildings, it's not clear to me how much that funding is for programming, but there is a clause, I believe, in the agreement in Section 3.05 that talks about that those institutions will not lobby the city for additional funding. And I think we might want to consider separating out the operating and maintenance funding for those buildings from the programming funding, because I do believe that it's the intention of me and I think a lot of my colleagues to support the cultural arts in this city. And unfortunately, many of those institutions have been burdened with maintaining buildings, which is not the right thing for them to do. It's great that the foundation can take that on. But I do want them to be able to come to City Hall to look for funding for programming, to support small groups and things like that. And maybe we need a distinction in that area.
Lee, excellent point. The $1.3 million that is going right there, you are absolutely right. It's for utilities and basically building improvements, very little for programs.
Right. So the preclusion in the clause where it says that those institutions will not come to the city to ask for additional funding, I think needs to be modified to say allow them to come for programming mm-hmm. money.
So they could go independently back to the city
right.
for that kind of programming funding.
Right. So if we can look at adding that in, that would be yes, great. And I think that holds me for right now. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ms. Arnold hasn't spoken yet, so we'll have her go next.
Thank you. I don't have anything major. It's shaking, but I do want to do as many of the colleagues have done. Mr. Heumann, thank you, first of all, for your work. Park Board members, I see a few here today. We want to thank them also for their efforts, and I have to be a little bit biased and called out Mr. Larry Hodgeberg, who is my Park Board representative, who is also an attorney who has helped to make some modifications with this particular plan. But I think, Mayor, what I need to, I'm going to ask a couple of questions, but I want to make a couple of comments. I hear my colleagues talk about transparency, and I hear your comment, Mr. Heumann, about us moving up the hill and having those challenges, and we're in the situation that we're in because of the failure of the city to do its job. So I have just a slight concern, because what you're describing in terms of the situation of the scenario at Fair Park is pretty much representative of what I represent as a council member, the same scenario, the lack of infrastructure, the lack of services, this lack of access. And so it's with that I do have an opportunity here just to take a pause and just say where are our priorities. Now, we do want to support this particular project, as we do with our council member here, but I want to make sure that I also put here before all of you is that Fair Park is not the only park, if you will, that we're being asked to fund. And so when we talk about transparency, I would like for the transparency and the same energetic flow of energy to come not only with Fair Park, but also Clyde Warren Park, which in the middle of all of this is asking for more money. The deck park that's coming in that lacks some transparency, so I want to put that on the record. That's the one on Marsalis is coming in District 1 and 4. So I want to throw that in, but I want us to have the same intensity when it comes to scrutiny. So board members, members around the council, I just want to make sure you remember that. Excuse me, and I will probably follow up on that. I do have some 88 parks in District 4, I believe, that need funding. And so as I'm approaching my constituents, they ask that question about priorities. So on the timeline, and Mr. Mayor Rollins, you may have to help us with this if Mr. Willis and Mr. Heumann can't. But what I've been asked to ask you is the timeline. What is the urgency with this timeline?
Well, there are two issues. One is we have to vote on any money in the budget for this year if we're going to move this ahead. Second is the foundation's timeline. They would just want to know whether we're interested in doing this or not.
All right, so we're not locked in. We don't have to make this decision in terms of the funding for this particular managerial format. It's just it's optional. Is that what it is?
It's in the city manager's budget. So if you don't want to spend the money in the city manager's budget, you'll have to make an amendment to get it out.
All right. If the council decides, we could make a decision.
We can do anything we want.
Anything we want to, we can move this to next year.
We can do anything.
We can do that. Okay. The question is, in terms of community input, now we're talking more now about the need to get input, and most definitely want to. I heard the comment about making sure the southern sector is sitting at the table. But the trick to that is, I found it, that sometimes the southern sector definition, we don't all agree on it. So when we talk about input, I notice there have been some meetings in some parts of the city. I think in the areas that I represent, we haven't had a full hearing. When I talk about the Oak Cliff area in District 4, where we have those constituents who've been able to come to a public hearing. True enough, Fair Park was available, but I'm just telling you that what I have received from my constituents is that they've not had that opportunity to do that, or maybe they have it and didn't choose to go. So I did want to put on the table for those who have asked me, the council can delay this transfer of power if we so choose of the council, all right? The second is the bond. We want to get an understanding on the bond proposal. I believe there is going to be an impact if the bond is not passed. So what date are we asking, if the council approves this, what date will we go to the voters for the bond?
We haven't made the final decision, but we're talking about this May.
How much will we be asking the voters to put?
We haven't decided as a council. We're going to be doing that after the budget is finalized.
All right. So the question, I think, for my constituents is, we would make a decision on the bond based on what? The amount of money.
Based on what we want to put in it.
So September, I was going to say nothing. because we need some of that money to go to some of the other parts of the city, so we'll have an infrastructure where we can get development all around the city. So the bond package is going before the voters. We don't know what that amount is going to be until we decide, but we have to decide on what by September 21st, Mayor, how much money we want to put in the mayor's, in the manager's
annual budget.
Annual budget, which is what amount? We're asking for what amount?
The amount that Mr. Human showed.
I just want to repeat that for my constituents. They're asking questions.
Year one is what, Willis?
How much money do you want from us for September 21st?
16.7.
And then it increases by yeah. 2 million.
Yeah, but for next year, just for next year.
Okay, but how much do you want us to submit to the manager's budget by September 21st?
Say again?
How much money do you want from us as a city by the 21st of this month?
In the first fiscal year, except for that adjustment, because it's only going to be three quarters and not four. Basically, it's around $12 plus million.
You need us to get $12 million to Mr.
In your first fiscal year. Our calendar year is, our fiscal year would be on a calendar year.
Mr. Human, let me let Mr. Winters ask the question, because it's a stub year there. So this.
Council member, the increase in the first year budget, once we take out the proration, because we're only funding 9 months instead of 12 months, is if you're funding the full year, the increase would be approximately $5.6 million over what's currently funded in the general fund budget for Fair Park. So it's 11.1 from Parks Department and Office of Cultural Affairs, and an increase of 5.7 to get to the $16.7 million. However, we're prorating that because we're not the commencement date is proposed in the contract to be January 1st versus October 1st. So we're taking out, we're keeping, the Park Department is keeping 3 months of operation. So the total budget is for 16-17 is $12,525,000.
So when my constituents ask, the ask will be $12 million is what we need to put into the budget of the city manager.
That's the total, but again, that amount is an increase over our current year budget of about $1 million.
All right, no, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm just trying to give these very simple responses to my constituents. When they ask, how much money are you putting into the manager's budget, I simply want to say,
you know what, let's ask much. The city manager.
Okay, that's easy. That
city manager is the line item for.
Come up, because my time is right on. Thank you.
Okay.
So
some of the numbers may be a little different in that whether or not you include revenue or not, but the numbers that we're looking at is the ask is about $7 million over the current year.
I know, but that's just, what is the number in the line item on Fair Park?
That's what I'm at.
No, $7 million plus.
Incremental increase over what spending is for Fair Park.
Which is what?
That total.
She's just asking for one number. The number in your plan for Fair Park is what? For 1 year?
17.7.
Seems.
That's all I want. All right, thank you. All right, and the last thing that I have a concern about will be the ability, the performance. And I guess my time is running out, but I will come back to performance because I understand if they're not performing, this particular management company can go out and hire its own audit company, if you will. And so I don't understand the process. What happens if those performance results are not what we accept as a city, or if there's a question about the company that is selected to do the audit? So sometimes we have our friends to, you know, get the proposal, if you will, of the contract, and then we have our friends auditing us. And so I want to come back on that, and then also come out back on the – and I'll come back since my time is running out for more intense response. Naming rights, what will we be naming?
The foundation would have naming rights, but it would have to be approved, and depending on the length of time – it would be approved by the park board.
By the park board or the board?
Park board and the and the park director.
So I will come back to that. Those two are a little bit troubling, but if we do want to do what we can to support all of the city. Thank you, and I'll come back.
Thank you, Ms. Arnold. Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thanks, all of you, for doing presenting this and providing this information. I think some of the questions that were asked, that I was going to ask or had questions on have already been answered. But I did want to make this comment, though. There's been talk about the staff, and I just wanted to add that we need to recognize and continue to talk about how this staff, like you mentioned earlier, it's something about overworked and underpaid. We want to make sure that we tell everyone and continue to talk to everyone about how Fair Park staff has been and time again every year there for the constituency as a whole. And you know, you mentioned that they've been working based on what they've been given. Yes, they've been working very hard, and so we got to make sure we talk about that they've been working very hard with what they have.
That's right.
And so that's something that we want to recognize, appreciate, thank them, because that is something that has not been mentioned, or at least I haven't heard it. So I wanted to make sure that we address that. The other questions have been answered to the questions that I had, Mr. Mayor. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
staff.
Thank you, Ms. Alonzo. Ms. Young has not spoken.
Thank you. All right, thank you. Let me also reiterate the thanks to the Park Board, certainly to the District 7 Park Board member, Sean Johnson, to Mr. Heumann, to the Mayor's Task Force, and to others who have worked on this issue. Let me say that I'm excited to hear not only around this horseshoe, but in the audience, that there is so much concern, or as I think Mr. Kleiman put it, passion, for the South Dallas Fair Park area. I would hope that as we are, I see many members of the South Dallas Fair Park community sitting in the audience today. We just had the opportunity to pass the South Dallas Fair Park PID. I hope that you all will be just as passionate in supporting that effort. There have been a number of community members that have really been working hard in the South Dallas area on a number of issues, and I haven't seen the passion there to get behind the community and help with those issues. And so I hope that when all the smoke screens and smoke and mirrors are gone, that we will see the same passion and the same commitment from the City of Dallas to help with the infrastructure concerns, to help with the job training programs, to help with the jobs that are needed, that I continue to hear as I'm walking the streets and at the car wash and on the corners talking to those in South Dallas, that this is not just a show for political reasons, but that you all will continue to be committed. To our neighborhood associations, I had the opportunity to talk to one of our first ladies this morning that said, I have a plan and we need help. And we have a nonprofit that's trying to do work in the community over in the Bertrand area, and we need help. And so I hope that all of these members in the audience that are saying and around this horseshoe, when other issues come to this horseshoe to support funding for South Dallas Fair Park, I hope that the passion and the support will be there as well. And this is not just a political issue. Let me say that, because I don't like to see the people who elected me that I represent to be used as political pawns for political issues. So I hope that we will continue to see that passion. And I look forward to working with each of you as we try to work on those issues in the community. We know that there are issues, as we've heard, around this horseshoe. We didn't get here overnight. We're not going to get out of this situation overnight. It is going to take years of us working together to figure out what the plan is and how we get there, and how we get there even more so as a community. I've said it a number of times around this horseshoe and committee meetings that there has been willful neglect by this city of the South Dallas Fair Park area, willful neglect for decades. And now here we are. Here we are trying to find a solution. We have those that are at the table working to find a solution, not working against solutions, but working to really find viable solutions. And I am committed to working with those that are at the table to find those solutions, whether that's community members, whether that's the business community or city staff or even my colleagues around the horseshoe. And so I've been public and on the record that I do support a public-private partnership. I will continue to support a public-private partnership. I will ask my colleagues to support a public-private partnership. And to say, I think it's disingenuous to continue, for folks to continue to say that the community has not been involved. When we've had meetings, I've also met with many neighborhood associations about this very issue, because those are the folks that elected me. I will admit, gone around and met with other neighborhood associations in other districts, because I don't represent those districts. But we have had the opportunity to sit down with District 7 constituents. I have here before me petitions from District 7 constituents who say, I support the privatization of Fair Park and the public-private partnership, and that it will bring new money to South Dallas Fair Park area in terms of development and infrastructure needs that we know we need. And I understand that this is a management agreement, but because I was elected by the people and sent here by the people, one of the position papers that they have provided with me talks exactly about that. Mr. Heumann, will you be committed? Will this foundation, not just you, but the foundation, be committed to partnering with organizations such as the South Dallas Fair Park PID, WINS, the Zip Code Connection, to be partners in the community to help and engage? And there are many others that are doing this work in the South Dallas Fair Park community. They also said they want the $25 million put back into the funding so that it will help with the infrastructure needs and other projects around South Dallas. And we certainly want to be supportive of the community park. And there are those that are making light of some comments I made. But I will tell you, and I will continue to say it, that when I'm out in the streets, what I'm hearing about mayor and council is jobs. We need jobs in South Dallas. And we know that in order to get there, we're going to need some job training and job development programs. We need apprenticeships. Everyone can't afford to not work while they're doing on the job training. And so we will need apprenticeships to help get us there in the community. And so let me also say, as my time runs, that Fair Park and the adjacent neighborhoods, that we understand they are connected. And that not only Fair Park, but the adjacent neighborhoods must both be preserved and revitalized. And I understand that that's not just the job of this foundation, it's also the job of this council and the mayor to figure it out. That the State Fair of Texas contract came before this very body in 2007. And I didn't hear the passion and see all the voices coming to the table to say, let's renegotiate this contract in a different way. And so I hope, again, that we will continue to see the voices of the community at the table and engaged. Let me ask this quick question about the institutions. It's come up a little bit, and let me just say that there are some concerns. I've met with the institutions there inside of Fair Park just in terms of how this funding will work, whether or not they can request money from the city, and I know we've talked about that a number of times, so I would request that we would meet with the institutions to staff and to the mayor, that we would continue to meet with the institutions to make sure that we're being responsible there in terms of funding. Also, I was provided today, I know that one of the concerns that continues to come up as we talk about this idea, this notion of gentrification, this idea of eminent domain, and some of those that are putting that into the atmosphere, the very ones that support it from a real estate proposition. But we do have in section 32-11.5 what is known as the Fair Park boundaries, and one of the solutions that I raised was to create some type of SUP process or something that whereby the foundation would be required to come back to the community and come back to this council or to the park board if ever we had what happened in 1969, an attempt for that to happen again in terms of the Fair Park encroaching more into the neighborhood. And I was made aware of the fact that in May of 1987, it is on the books in the shape of an ordinance, 19541, that before Fair Park boundaries are established, before they may be expanded, we must have a public hearing before the city council. What I would like to see happen, council, is that we would amend this ordinance to say, to include the foundation and institutions at Fair Park, that before they would try to expand further into the neighborhood to make it specific to the foundation and to any institution in Fair Park, that they would have to come before the park board and come before the community before they would be allowed. The city council, yes, the city council is already in there. But that we would include those extra layers of protection, and so I'll be raising that as an amendment to that ordinance in the days to come, and I hope that you all will support that so that we can protect the community from that end. And then I have a question for staff, park and rec staff. So on page 16, it talks about the park board asks for one member of the community and one preservation member to be a part of this body, of this board. And I guess I'm curious about when that switched. When I last heard, I remembered it was 20%, and the board had healthy conversation about not giving it a number because if it was a big board, one person would not be adequate representation for the community on a big body. And so when did we switch to just one member?
Yeah, Ms. Young, it was 10%. Okay. Or a minimum of one. So, you know, with nine members, we rounded up.
And so I won't rehash that. I would agree with my colleagues in terms of, and I know that, Mr. Heumann, you said there are two and there's this other layer, but I would agree going forward if we would change that recommendation to a higher percentage so that we ensure that there's more representation of the community on the board, that I would be supportive of that. Also, the underground parking is what I support. The community has said loud and clear they do not want high-rise parking structures. And so my time is running out, but as I said, I hope that my colleagues will continue to be supportive of issues, and I look forward to working with all of my colleagues to make sure that we have a contract that we can all be proud of as it relates to Fair Park and that the community can be proud of as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. Before I get into what I was going to ask, I want to second what Ms. Young just said about underground parking, no above-ground parking garages. And your foundation would probably be the ones that would make that decision as to where the parking goes. So no parking garages. Ask the state fair, since all the parking is related to them, to pay for those underground parking garages. Okay, so I have one question for you, Walt, and then I think a couple of questions for Mr. Winters. You mentioned earlier today that we really need some street improvements around the park, and you mentioned two or three, and as I was adding it up, it came to around $25 million.
Right.
So you would want those to be in the bond proposition, but not the fair park bond proposition, the streets proposition, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Because I think as I read all of this language in this agreement, it only pertains to within the boundaries of fair park.
Right.
So you're going to ask us to spend another $25 million.
They wouldn't let me in. It doesn't relate to parks, but it's $25 million in the streets and the infrastructure budget.
So it would be in the streets proposition of the bond program.
East Grand, and then $5 million for underground drainage problems.
Yeah, okay. Well, that would be a different proposition. Okay, but it's $25 million. Okay, thank you. Mr. Winters, I'm going to get down kind of into the weeds here, I think, but in this management agreement on page 42, it talks about turnover and the expiration of this agreement or in the event the foundation shall cease to operate or determine to liquidate and dissolve, it talks about all the remaining assets at the time that the foundation may determine to liquidate or dissolve. And it says they should either go to the city or to another 501c3 charitable organization for the benefit of Fair Park. Why would you include that? I certainly don't. I'm not in favor of giving their assets to another 501c3 charitable organization. I think it should all come back to the city. I would probably make a motion to eliminate that language.
Understand.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't know. I was wondering if you could tell me why that was
put
in there.
No, there was that was probably language that was in the zoo contract, perhaps, and that served as the basis for this contract.
Okay.
But I understand that concern, and that could be by amendment taken out.
I would certainly offer that amendment. And then on page 18.
Which page was that, Ms. Grayson?
Management agreement, page 18.
18. Yes, ma'am.
It talks about expenses, and it talks about operating expenses and capital expenditures. And under capital expenditures, it talks about improvements, alterations, additions, equipment, tools that have a useful life in excess of 1 year. I know in our capital, when we do bond program sales, it has to be some item that lasts longer than 20 years. And so why is this, I don't want to be buying hammers with bond program bond program funds.
I would have to ask the city attorney if there is a specific reason for 1 year. Again, perhaps it was a standard language in other contracts. But
you could get back to me with that.
I'd
like an answer to
that
because I don't want to be buying things like tools with bond dollars. Okay. And then I wanted to ask, there was a section in here related to new for-profits that might go into the park and how then the city funds would be supporting them like we currently do with the institutions already there. Why would we want to do that? Is that like to make an attraction for for-profits to come in and occupy some of those buildings?
Over the last several years, we have been in discussion with multiple groups that want to come to Fair Park with a new venue or visitor attraction that would be a nonprofit operating partner. So I think the intent is that if there are any opportunities for new private partners, nonprofit organizations, that they might be eligible for some of the cultural program funds.
Actually, this specifically talked about for-profits. So I have a question which you can get to me later with an answer about why would we be throwing money at for-profits.
I'll get back with you on that.
I think those are my questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm going to try to move as fast as I can. You're going to pay a living wage.
I'm sorry?
You're going to pay a living wage to all employees.
I'm going to pay a living wage, certainly.
I'd like that included in the contract. And to the extent it's practicable, I'd like for contractors of the foundation to pay a living wage as well. It's the policy of this city, and I think if we're treating the park as a way to do neighborhood development, I think that's going to be important. I saw a reference to South Dallas Trust Fund, not South Dallas Fair Park Trust Fund, and the paragraph, frankly, is very confusing. What is being proposed
There is South Dallas Fair Park.
It's called the South Dallas Fair Park Trust Fund. And part of the JEXA contract requires that you all negotiate with them, requires that they pay so many cents per ticket that goes straight to the South Dallas Fair Park Foundation. I don't know how much of the money of the foundation has actually flowed back into Fair Park. I don't think any, but could be wrong on that.
And Willis, then the remainder of the obligations of the city to the trust fund are going to be met through the state fair? Y'all can get back to me on that later. The issue is that we just got finished putting some money back into that organization, and I want to make sure it doesn't go anywhere.
It's not going anywhere. Okay. Those other provisions are still in place.
Great. Thank you.
Mr. Kingston, I think you are correct. That should say the South Dallas Fair Park Trust Fund.
Yeah, it's just a cleanup. Yes, it's no big deal. I'm with Mr. McGue. I think what he's suggesting is that as revenues increase in the operation of the foundation, that should reduce the management fee. I'd love to see that. Willis, let me ask you a question. How do you see this affecting future parks and rec budgets?
So this is part of our overall park budget. This year we are going up. We are increasing in large part, due to this increase to this management fee for the foundation. So
with regard to every other park and rec center in the city of Dallas, how do you foresee the operation of the foundation and the increased management fees being paid in affecting the budgets for the entire rest of the system?
Yeah. Yes, sir. It would be similar to the funding that was phased in over time with the Dallas Zoo contract starting in 2009. As you know, we started at $10.8 million the first year, then it escalated to $12.8 and it's now at $14.8. So it would have similar effect. Yes, they're all, you know, in a tight budget year. There could be some competition there, but we've had good budget years since 2009, and that hasn't been an issue.
Yeah, and let's hope that goes on forever. What do the Friends of Fair Park, what is their future with regard to the operation of the foundation?
The Friends of Fair Park is organized under the donor and member relations.
How are they going to be able to raise any money if the foundation is raising all the money for Fair Park?
Friends of Fair Park primarily has been raising money, small amounts, from members. They also have done a very credible job in bringing legislative earmark for funding into Fair Park, as well as securing foundation donations. What I hope that can happen is we dramatically increase the number of members, and that the money is important, but more important is to have a larger number of people throughout the entire Dallas area and really broader region that are members and friends of Fair Park.
One of the foundation boards that I think you probably talked to had a specific desire in the mayor's task force that once this foundation got underway, that essentially it would raise all the money for Fair Park and there would not be any role for the Friends anymore. And so with them being kind of the most visible fan of the foundation plan, I have a real question about, it seems to me that the operation of the foundation, if it's raising its maximum amount of money, is probably a competitor to Friends of Fair Park. So that relationship remains opaque to me. The mayor's task force wanted to put a park back in the park. And everybody agrees on that. But the details of this are important because we don't want to buy a pig in a poke. And that is a reference to you spending approximately 10 times as much on the swine building as on the park. There are two major issues here. One is the
you're
way
wrapping
the,
up.
Can I just, I'll
go
finish
ahead.
Up then no, I'll take my three. Thank
no,
you.
No, 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 no. He's just going to wrap up. Go ahead.
Thank you so much, Mr. Mayor. There are two major problems that have been that have come to the fore in talking about Fair Park. One is the way it interacts with the community, and hopefully in the future will add greatly to the immediate community as well as Dallas as a whole. That's what we all want. That kind of stuff started with the idea, I think the most agreed upon idea about making it a park, making it interact with the community, is tearing down the fences and jackhammering out the parking lots. And that's not in this plan. So I don't understand where that went. That's in the mayor's task force report, and now it's gone. The second issue is our duty to preserve those buildings. What we have learned in Dallas, if anything, about preserving historic structures, it's that it is critical to have long-term tenants in the buildings so that somebody is the cheerleader for the maintenance of that building. And the idea of fixing up a building that will continue to be vacant and expecting that it will remain in good condition is really, really foolish. And the thing that has been missed here is that the state fair has not been challenged in this proposal. They continue to want the use of the building to be empty most of the year so that it can sell mattresses and hot tubs, you know, just during the fair. And that's where I think the opportunity was really missed. They have signaled that they're willing to really compromise. The compromise they need to make for the purpose of preservation is long-term tenants for the buildings. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Clayton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just as a matter of procedure, if we're going to add amendments to this contract, do we do that today or do we do that?
It'll be in time. I'm thinking about it, so let me listen to everybody keep talking, and I'm listening about that.
Okay.
I'll come back to that, Mr. Clayton.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Then I guess a comment. I think Ms. Young kind of took the tenor of what I was trying to say about, you know, when I question you, Mr. Heumann, thank you for being so graceful today and answering all the questions. You know, when I question making a park a priority, I'm saying that because the citizens told us it's a priority. And I think we have a social contract to our citizenry to make sure that if we're spending this money, and to Ms. Grayson's question, if it's $75 million on the bond and $25 million on the streets and $5 million on plumbing, on a bond program that may be $600 million, let's say, I have $300 million just in street and alley needs in my district, and I might get $15 million. I am concerned about maximizing the spend to take a treasure and make it efficient. So whether we do it today, Mr. Mayor, or we do it in a few weeks, one of the things that I'm going to suggest is that I will make an amendment to make it to where we have three city council members on this board of nine, because if I have to go to my constituents and say, look, for the good of the city, you're going to get $15 million, but we're going to give $105 million to a 2-square-mile radius, I need to be able to have the accountability to say it's not because of the wisdom or the opinion or the wants of two or three or four people. So I guess that's just a statement, Mr. Mayor. I'm happy to make that today, or I'm happy to make it in a few weeks. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. McGue.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. A lot of my questions have been answered, but as it relates to the bond package and the request for effectively the $75 million for $50 million match, why would we not, inherently it makes more sense to have a one-to-one match. Why is it being asked that we don't have a full one-to-one match, or that first $25 million comes from the city alone?
I'd like to answer that. Because when I took a look at the needs inventory, I was appalled that you had $25 to $30 million of projects. The electrical vault that I showed to the park board, that, and the dangerous situations out there that were going unattended. And it seems to me that the very first thing, if I were a potential donor, I want to say you really need to attend to the most difficult thing, because there's going to be a lot of flack around this horseshoe if someone is killed or injured or hurt out there without the security. And so, you know, why should the private sector match something that should have been done 3 or 4 decades ago? And that was just on that priority one.
We're going to be asking them to do that on that anyway.
Yeah.
If we're going to be going to the taxpayers for a bond package, I think it makes sense to have a one-to-one match from the onset all the way through.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a few quick questions, lightning round, Ms. Walt. Just kind of going through the contract. The Section 2.04, the Fair Park Intellectual Property, could you help me with the last sentence that talks about, during the term of the agreement, the city will not use the Fair Park Intellectual Property without notification to the foundation?
Section 203? 204. Intellectual property. So I'm sorry, Eric, what's the question?
Just what does that mean in terms of, as far as city promoting, do we get permission from the foundation, or how does that work with our convention?
Council member, will and I ask city attorney to come address that question.
Quickly, my time is running.
Stop the clock. Money Tankersley with the City Attorney's Office. The reason why it's drafted that way is because we are exclusively licensing them the first right to the intellectual property, and so it's a general practice in the industry that when you do that kind of licensing, that while you're not giving the ownership away, you would consult with them before you incorporate it into your own use, because we may be doubling up, for example, on how it's being used.
Okay. All right. 205. Talk about short-term leases, I guess making contract or, I'm sorry, let me back up. You talk about the leases, the short-term leases and how we go about doing contracts, but what about long-term contracts? What's the consideration in, I guess, consolidating those or renegotiating those during this time of the agreement?
Well, the foundation will have to come to the park board and eventually city council for anything that goes beyond a year. I mean, that's a requirement for any leases. So as far as concessioner vendor contracts, they could do that on a short-term basis through the AA process, just like basically keeping, just like we would do it under the AA process, that's something that they will do under their regular operations and management of the Fair Park.
Okay, Ms. Winters, maybe you can answer this question in terms of the athletic events. Talks about any event that, let's say we lose a game, that we are to continue to pay the management fee for 18 months up to that. How far in advance are our contracts with the current games we have in terms of if they want to cancel a game, how far in advance are we required to be notified? Stop the clock. Why is reading? Can you stop the clock?
No.
No.
Time.
Well, okay. All right, can you get back with me on that
Texas
one?
Texas OU game goes through 2025, but there's two other games. The Heart of Dallas football, I'm sorry, I've got a long list here.
But how far in advance do they have to give us notice that they're not coming back?
The Heart of Dallas ball goes through 2018.
Correct, but how far in advance do they have to give us a notice that they're not, that they don't want to renew?
Those are all committed ones.
Okay, well, get back with me on that, please. Get back with me. Again, I want to go back to the in-kind donations on Section 303. I don't agree with the taking in-kind donation. I think it needs to be a monetary value associated as opposed to an in-kind. Let me go to Section 305. This goes back to our resident institutions. As the management fee increases, I understand the allotment or the allocation will be increased or decreased. Let's say if it's not fully allocated, then it's reduced by that amount, correct?
Yes, sir. There is additional funding for resident institutions over time, above and beyond the $1.3 million in this contract.
Okay. Is there any safeguards to make sure that we maintain our residential institutions, such as African American Museum, make sure that they're not weeded out in terms of funding? What safeguards are there?
I wasn't sure I heard everything in your question, but that was one of the reasons that we're also involving the Office of Cultural Affairs in their review and approval process with their board is to, in part, to address that.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Arnold.
Yes, sir. Oh, thank you.
I was just doing a couple of things. Mr. Mayor, quickly, with all of these modifications that we're offering, we are proposing to have this ready by the 21st with the language. I just wanted to ask.
By the 21st? Yeah. Let me come back to it.
Okay.
Let me come back to that question.
All right. So I wanted to ask that because I'm running to a number of things. But quickly, on the management piece, I want you to know that is a concern because they're able, if they're not performing, the understanding is that this particular management group can hire its own auditing firm. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. The intent is that they would be required to fund hiring a nationally known firm with approval of the Park Department.
All right, so that would be approved by the
to address your concern.
All right. That would be the I wanted to make sure I had some understanding on that before I offered. The other piece has to do with the acquisition of land. I'm reading and still concerned about the land that's in a discussion outside of the park, I guess beyond the gate. And so the other piece would be, does this board, this management group have the right to purchase land? Is that addressed here in Mr. Watt?
Foundation, as I've said before, is not going to be purchasing any additional land outside the borders.
Does it speak to that in writing? In this contract, I didn't see it. So we don't know that. The reason I'm asking, because I brought this topic up with the zoo. The zoo is able to purchase land, and so as I talk about both of these entities, I wanted to make sure we had safeguarded the city's investment with that. So I'm down to 329. So can this particular entity purchase land?
The agreement part happened with the city attorney's office. I don't believe the agreement specifically prohibits the purchase of land. It states that the foundation is supposed to be doing everything within the park. Now, to the extent they came up with a need to benefit Fair Park that would require the acquisition of land, that would have to be in their budgets, in their plans, and run by the park director and, I believe, the park board. So while there's not a specific prohibition, it's not contemplated within the initial charge to the foundation to work within the boundaries of Fair Park and improve Fair Park.
All right, so they could go beyond the boundaries that are here now. That would be okay.
Well, yeah. not without input from the park board,
right.
And one would assume.
But if there's a boom in economic development, that may be a cause to. If there's a boom in economic development in the park, then that might push the envelope a little bit where there would be a need to move beyond.
The idea that comes to mind, if they needed storage space or something like that, and needed to expand, but that would have to be part of the vetted out plan. Now, I will say they do not have any sort of eminent domain authority, so they're not going to be able to do a forced sale, if
okay.
you will.
But those things could happen through the park and the council. As I move forward, I think the MWBE is what I'm still getting the pressure for in terms of asking a question and ensuring that we have some MWBE definite points. And so I wanted to make sure we talked about that, and I don't know that we've met that particular threshold in this document, but there will be some offering there. The last piece here I'm hearing now, and perhaps it's my error, $50 to $75 million might go on the bond package. I thought that was something we said we didn't know. I heard some of my colleagues use that term, $50 to $75 million bond before the citizens.
Yeah, that's what he's asking for.
That's what you're asking for,
yes.
But this council doesn't have to give that.
We can do whatever we want.
All right, I just want to make sure I'm having to get answers from my constituents, and that, I think that's the main thing I want to do. So, Mayor, I'm just asking these questions for clarifications in terms of amendments that we will offer. But once again, since my time is up, Mr. Human, I want you to know it's not that we don't trust you, and I've read a lot of good positive things about you in the city of Dallas and your mood to push for diversity and fairness, and I want you to know that's documented in a book. So I did want to let the audience know that we feel like sometimes we feel like we're beating you up, we're not. But, you know, there are folks who come beyond us, after us, with genes that don't reflect what your interest is. And so we have to ask these questions for the benefit of those that we represent. So thank you for my time. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Medrano hasn't spoken, so we'll let him speak next.
All right. Thank you, Mayor. First off, I'd like to just, for the record, Ms. Young isn't the only person that represents neighborhoods around Fair Park. So District 2 is around Fair Park. Also, and we work well together. So we do. And this is a big, huge commitment we're going to make. But one of the main things that, and the number one thing that I think our city needs and we haven't gotten right is to make sure we're paying our police and fire. So in order for us to be a great city, we need to have top public safety. We need to make sure we're paying our police and fire. So I don't think I can support this until we get that right. Definitely want to, I look forward to working with my colleagues and Willis and everyone else involved on these amendments that I heard. I heard some great ones. Council member on the board or whatever. What did you say it was, Scott? The big table. Having council members at the big table, all Dallas residents, those are great suggestions, and there's many more. So I look forward to, in the next couple of weeks, working with you guys and see if we can work through this to make it better. Even though it might be better, I don't think I can support it because of what I said earlier. So definitely enjoy listening to all of your comments and look forward to working with you in the next couple of weeks. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I just wonder why we keep talking about the State Fair of Texas. I mean, we all recognize that is the signature event that goes on, you know, out there. You know, it's a 24-day thing. But I think we hold them to a different standard. We want to, you know, let them do all the heavy lifting. You know, they ought to be doing this, they ought to be doing that. But candidly, there is an agreement in place for Fair Park, and it's a 25-year agreement, and that I don't think we're up for renewal till 2028. But when we've done festivals and athletic events and concerts and other agreements and so forth, we honor those agreements. We don't go back and say, you guys, you know, like Irish Fest, you guys ought to be doing road work out there, or you ought to be putting up fences or doing this, that, or the other. So I think the State Fair of Texas does what we expect them to do within that 24 days. If we want to sweeten the deal for the foundation later, they can certainly tweak that agreement and ask the State Fair to do some things that they've done a lot over the years, and perhaps they can do more over time. But I wish we wouldn't continue to kind of pound them. Again, they're our best partner, and they're the reason that Fair Park was put there in the first place. I wanted to tell a little story, and it's really a story about Fair Park. And I just wanted to kind of use something that I've known for a long time in my childhood. It's a story about four people named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. Fair Park needed to get rebuilt and improved. Everybody was sure somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought that anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. Now somebody is ready to take the wheel and really make a difference, and it's called the Fair Park Texas Foundation. I've waited on everybody my whole life to step up to the plate and do something about it, make a difference, make Fair Park better. Walt, you're the guy that stepped up to the plate, and I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Ms. Gates. Ms. Madonna, you done?
Oh, yeah.
Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll have to follow Callahan. I don't think I can come up with anything that quite that clever, but go freestyle. Yeah, I'll let you do that. I'm too set in my ways for that, Mark. I don't freestyle very well. Where's my questions? When you started looking at, and you've studied the park and its assets and its liabilities and its needs and what can make it better, what do you think the total worth of the property and the assets are in the current status? Did you kind of evaluate that?
In November, I said this is potentially a $1 billion park.
Yeah.
It's not anywhere close to that for the simple reason of the reasons that I gave here: lack of management, lack of marketing, and woeful lack of funding. So someone coming in and appraising these buildings, taking a look at your overall assets, looking at the out-migration of museums and other events because of that lack of funding and management, I'd have to downgrade it as an appraiser. But That's the bad news. The good news is you start from this point, and it gives you a great opportunity to really turn that whole thing around and make it one of the principal assets in the state of Texas. Enhance the potential.
Well, after hearing everybody speak this afternoon, I mean, I think we have a responsibility to take care of this asset to see, unless we're going to sell it. And I don't think I hear any voices or anybody ready to sell this asset on a market and let somebody else, take care of it. And we need something radical. I want to make it right, and there's a couple, and I think the Park Board did a good job on making some amendments to make sure that we did move forward in the right direction. I hear a lot of discussions about what I know people know would be poison pills. If they put it in there, it just stops it. And, you know, if the agenda is to take the fair out of the fair park, you know, I guess that potentially trying to stop this may do that, but it's not. I mean, as we all know, the fair has a long-time contract. If it's that somebody else wants control of it, I mean, we could RFP it out and see. I don't know where we're going to get with that, and with now the knowledge that everything's going to have to, what we want to see in there, because we've seen a lot of different, or heard from a lot of different people. We can leave it in the park board's hands and the city's hands, or we could put more people that represent the city on these boards, but that's what we've done, and we haven't cared for it. So we're really at a crossroads, and I want to get it right. I'm still struggling with why, if we're going to get this plan and implement it and make it more successful, why the fees have to escalate. I haven't heard a good explanation for that, because I think the revenue should start coming in, and we should be able to run more efficiently, and it should cost the city less. I mean, that's what I would like to see. So I'm struggling with that, but I want to be part of this team that really does get this in the correct kind of management hands, and we're not the ones. I mean, Willis, you've done a tremendous job for the resources you have, but you know we're not taking care of the assets. Why is it that a foundation? I mean, just simply, why if we just took this extra $7 million? I think we've come up with the fact that I think in the briefing we had listed it's going to cost us $6.5 million more, maybe it's $7 million more in this first budget. What if we just took that money as a city and we just gave that to you, Willis? And then we kept it in our hands. Why are we not suggesting that? Why are we saying a foundation is it because we can leverage future funds or future dollars, or what's the rationale for that?
Well, I think that's one of the primary principal advantages of this contract, council member, is that with the foundation they have the ability to raise private funds and to approach donors that would give money to a foundation before they
and
would.
You don't feel like we have that ability?
No, ma'am, we don't. It's the same with the zoo, arboretum, and Clybourne okay. Park.
And I think the zoo has doubled with very little more money from the city. They've been able to
That's
double
right.
their expenses.
I think the zoo is a great model for what we're looking at here today with this management agreement. In 2009, our budget was X. Today, it's substantially higher, and they're able to attract private donations.
And the city's not.
And their attendance now is projected to be 1.1 million. When we privatized, it was probably almost half that.
All right. And what if you can't get all the bond money that you're asking for? What if when we start these discussions and we want to put more into streets and more into, what's going to happen at that point? Does it just make things go slower? That might be a question for Walt.
And I'll let him answer it quickly because your time's up.
Address those priorities. Priority one and two, and that's not enough. That comes to about $80-85 million, and what you're committed to in that contract is only $75 million. So there's already a shortfall in priority one and priority two.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Lastly, Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. I have a question about the performance standards. Who's going to write the performance standards and the indicators? Or you, Walt. Mr. Heumann, that's fine. Either of you can answer.
Mr. Griggs, the performance indicators. We've talked about the performance objectives. I think will be written with both the foundation. We'll probably do the first draft and submit them to the department. So it'll be a back and forth process to create the objectives and to the measurements, and bring those to the Park Board for their approval. So there will be a back and forth discussion.
Those will require Park Board approval?
Yes,
will
sir.
Will require council approval as it's written now?
The current agreement as it's written says that the performance plan, which includes the measures, will be subject to Park Board approval.
Okay. Thank you. And I also have a concern about if revenues keep going up, why the management fee would go up. Big difference with this property and the zoo is this has an opportunity for more year-round events and year-round tenants. It's hard to get someone to move into the gorilla cage and have an office. There's just not that available space. But you have so many buildings and empty buildings at Fair Park, it's a great opportunity to bring in additional revenue. So it seemed like our goal is to make you self-sustaining, Fair Park self-sustaining. And we would get there by you increasing your revenues, and the city of Dallas, the citizens, would decrease the management fees over time.
There's a critical financial mass that is required to have a viable corporation or an entity. You do not have that by a long distance now. And I cannot commit. I do not want to set the foundation up for failure. If I simply follow the siren song, let's cut the fees back beyond where they should be. I presented to you earlier what I really felt that you should fund. That was cut back during the negotiation process. I believe that we're there in terms of the minimum amount.
Mr. Heumann, I'm not talking about the initial one. I'm talking about even the initial one. We take your position over time, then gradually decreasing it. Not the initial one. Let's accept what you're saying about there being the initial shortfall in capital and needs a minimum corpus to continue.
Yeah.
But over time, as you build things, that you get these tenants, you get these people in buildings, you increase the number of revenue opportunities, bring in more games to the Cotton Bowl, bring everything else in, then why wouldn't we want the management fee to decrease so then the city of Dallas could spend that money on, for example, the area of outside of Fair Park?
In the steady state budget, I showed about $3 million a year for new projects. I showed about $2 million only for critical CapEx needs that they've identified. So if you extrapolate that for 16 years, I know this sounds like a lot of money, but it's really not in terms of the hill that has to be climbed out there. If we're talking about a new children's or family park, if we're talking about reconfiguring inside of Fair Park, if we're talking about other improvements,
I only got a minute left, so to move on. We just have a disagreement, and I'm not getting a satisfactory answer. So staff's welcome to weigh in on a memo, or you're welcome to send me an answer later. But it's not addressing the question on why the revenues are going to, the contributions from the city are not going to decrease over time. Because a lot of other parks around the country that get going with city help have that model because it gets you to sustainability. And so I'm not hearing an answer. I want to go back and reiterate, because only a minute left, we really need to make the park a priority. Not only the planning of it, but the building of this park needs to be in priority one. It just does. The funds need to be there. That is the most important thing. Tear down the walls, bring in the community in this place. It has to be done. We have to put our money where our mouth is on this. And then also on the board, I fully support more members, more people who live in the community, and particularly in District 7 and District 2 near there on the board, having a seat at the big table. We absolutely need community buy-in and community support, and they need seats at this table, more than just one assigned seat with this time they have two seats. Need at least four seats on there from people who live in and around Fair Park to make this work. That's what's been missing for so many years. What I think how the city has let down Fair Park is not having enough people involved. You can always use more, and there's some great people over there who can be a part of it. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. I want to answer a couple of questions, make a couple of comments. How are you doing, Daniel? Anna, you've been working hard your whole life on this thing, so we appreciate Ms. Alonzo said something. Please pass it on to your team.
They very much appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. There are a lot of amendments kind of thrown up on this contract today, a lot of ideas. Mr. Heumann, how do you feel about the contract? We haven't asked you.
Thank you. Because really the foundation has not had an opportunity to participate in the amendments that were placed in or given our opinion. We have real problems with some of them. Some we can negotiate, but others I think we need to have a two-way discussion and really resolve some of these hard parts for the foundation.
All right, so this is what I think we should do. First of all, it's near impossible, anybody that's done any business, it's near impossible to negotiate a deal with 30 people. You had 15 park board people and 15 of us, and we're negotiating that deal, staff, legal. It's a little chaotic. A lot of great work's been done, okay? Thank you, everybody that's done this, but I think we still are not there yet. So I'm going to form a special negotiation team led by Ms. Young, Mr. McGue, and Ms. Alonzo, okay? And I want them to get with you. I want everybody to hopefully we can capture some of the thoughts that are there. And if, I don't know, Willis, can you listen back to what was said so we don't lose any of these things?
Yes, sir. We have learned to listen to the audio tapes in the last 2 months. We're very good at that, and we'll do that here, too.
Okay.
I've recorded several of them, and we'll go make sure we pick them
great.
All up.
Thank you, Mr. Winters. And then that'll give you a chance to push back on our guys and see what we want to do. Ms. Arnold, you asked a question.
I had a question for you, sir.
Yeah.
Since I'm going through this experience about districts, Mr. Medrano mentioned that part of this was in his district, and I know I'm going through that, and I know how it feels when people vote against me in my own district and I'm and not include me. So is it possible that he could also be on the task force since he has constituents around the fair park?
Yeah, I'm not, mainly because he said he's not voting for it, okay? I'm trying to get people that are thinking about voting for it. If you're not going to vote, you can't do a deal. You can't do a deal with somebody.
I also said I was going to work on it and work towards trying to get
everybody
together.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misheard you. I said
I could still vote against it, though. That's
what you said.
Yeah,
that's what you said.
Yeah.
And so I want somebody at the table that is interested in kind of trying to get that done. That's the decision. Ms. Arnold, you asked another question, and that was what happens by the 21st. All right. I'd like to get this done by that period of time. If for some reason we don't, okay, we can still vote on the city budget, and the city budget has the money in there. We can either take it out or we can put it in, and if we leave it in and we don't come to terms, we can always re-vote to use that money or put it into savings reserve account. So that's basically how we'll do that. I've got a couple other things, Mr. Heumann, but we've kind of battered you with a lot of questions. Do you have any closing remarks? I'll let you have, and then I'll close up with my thoughts.
Yes, I do.
I'll give you 120 seconds.
120.
Okay.
Thank you very much for your time. What I'm asking for is the tools to really create a great fair park, adequate funding, a management mechanism. If we can come together, we hear the constituencies that we've got to convince, and we're going to try to get our word out much better than we have in the last 5 or 6 months. And that is, here is the constituency. It's not just around this horseshoe. We've got to convince the citizens of Dallas who will be voting for bonds. We've got to convince people that have been sitting on the sidelines, donors, to come back into Fair Park. We've got to consider employees and potential CEO for this organization that this is a good place to be. We've got to convince volunteers and the general community. And that's why we've got to really act like a team. We are competing outside the Dallas area with other venues that are delighted with all the flack they were causing on this thing. So what I'm suggesting is let's get the facts out. I asked humbly for your opinion on this. And finally, I ended my presentation in November with one of my favorite poets. It was Robert Frost. And remember, he talked about the road not taken. And I said, one path is marked status quo. That's what we've been about for the last 40 years. Status quo. Let's not delay. Let's take the path less traveled. But then I went over to the Dallas Public Library and I found another poet with a poem more online to what we're talking about, and I'd like to read that to you now as a closing thought. Quote, Dallas City Council, please vote 15-0 to revitalize Fair Park. It's the only way to go. Otherwise, it will just be more of the old status quo. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Heumann. Appreciate it. My couple of thoughts. Mr. McGew said it. Ms. Young said it. I love everybody being involved and caring about this. This is very important to the city of Dallas. I feel it. People stop me in the street and are excited about what's going to happen with Fair Park. I also love everybody's focus on South Dallas Fair Park. We need that. We need to help that community. We've neglected for too long, and so I appreciate it. The job that Mr. Heumann took on is a difficult one because it really pulled everybody together. And let me tell you all the people he's got to pull together. First of all, the community, the folks that live right there. Second, economic development specialists, real estate specialists, believe that we can drive and make more money out of this thing, okay, as a city, tax base. The preservationists, which are extremely important about this, and these buildings have been going to hell in a handbasket because we haven't spent money. The fiscal conservatives, and I'm going to look straight ahead when I say that, okay, that don't want to spend more money, and historically we've had a good amount of them. The current residents of the nonprofits, we've got those folks that are there, and keeping them involved in this. New visitors, the Chambers of Commerce, the MWBE folks, and lastly, the philanthropists. So pulling everybody together, I think, is what we're trying to do here, guys. Everybody should feel that they are part of this solution. Now, the question is, are there other folks besides the Fair Park Foundation that wants to do this? After you endorse the mayor's task force plan, I went around and I talked to a lot of people, including Mr. Heumann, and I will say there were a lot of talented people, but Mr. Heumann's the one that had the vision and the heart and the desire to do this, because there's nothing, the foundation's not going to get anything out of this. These individuals not going to get anything out of it. And I believe that we've got the best team that's out there for us at this point. Nobody else has stepped up and all this time rang me and said, I'll put a nonprofit together and negotiate. Now, what we misunderstand here is this whole discussion about the parks. The park being our number one priority. I think we all agree. I think I could get unanimity in this room. How we spend the money is our decision. He's making recommendations based on the state of the buildings that we've had before. His belief is we've got a better chance to raise private money for a park than private money to fix the pipes. We can say he's wrong. And we can say, Mr. Heumann, if we give you that money, we want you to put it in a park. He may not take the job, but we can say that to him. So we have the power. It's not about him. It's about us, how we want to spend the money. Now, I will say that I respect the preservationists too much in this city to just easily cast them aside and say we don't need to take these buildings seriously because there's some terrible fix-ups that we need to do. Also, the terms of the deal, to me, are extremely tough. Good job, Willis. Good job, Park Board. You guys have negotiated some tough deals. They're different than the zoo and the aquarium. I mean, at the Arboretum. We would never have gotten this done deal, those deals done with those terms. And so I'm still hoping that you come out of that negotiation session, Mr. Heumann, wanting to do this. But we want these guys to succeed. Lastly, the whole question about when revenues go up and they're making so much money, why do we have to pay so much money? We don't. When that happens, this council looks at that and we say, you know what? We're not going to give you as much this year. We have the power to do that. So this contract does not lock anything in place. And if we all want what we're all talking about, these revenues to go up. And so hopefully that will be the case. And if that happens, we can deal with it. The whole issue of the state fair is critical because it seems to be the root cause of a lot of angst in this. We know in reality what we've got, how long the contract is, and it's going to outlive all of us. There is one man that can figure this out for us, and it's Walt. It's not going to be our new city attorney, okay, because it's pretty black and white, and it's not going to be us taking a vote. It's going to be an agent for us that we empower to try to get there. So that's one of the reasons why I want to put my arms around Walt and say, help us figure this out. And by the way, I feel the same way Walt does. I've not heard one thing from the state fair that says, talk to us if you want to make this thing big in a big way. But they're not going to negotiate with 15 council people. They're just not. We've got to work with they want to work with this foundation. The other point is Ms. Gates raised this question about the purpose of this. And I thought it was a very astute question because the purpose of the foundation is really to deal with Fair Park and take it to the next level. The reason I'm so excited about it is what it can be to South Dallas Fair Park. So I don't want to stop there. And I've told the community, I just want to be real honest what I've been telling them, all right? This isn't about just putting money back in Fair Park. This is using Fair Park and then putting money back into the community. Whether it's a bond, whether it's a funding for wins, it's some of the things that Ms. Young talked about. And that's my agenda because that is one of the most important areas in the city of Dallas. Big discussion of the board makeup. We can talk about it. I will say that Mr. Heumann talked... He asked for nominees from the park board. He asked for nominees from city council. And he has been negotiating with a lot of people to put the right people on it. And so that is not his doing. That is the park board and the council's doing. But you can talk about that in negotiation. I will say that this notion that somebody from University Park can't be on the board is just a smokescreen for getting rid of Walt Heumann, okay? It's pure and simple that. Because if somebody offered us $30 million from a park, from University Park, we'd pick it up in a New York minute. And we'll decide as a council how we want to move forward, but let's call the truth the truth. We don't have that in the Arboretum. We don't have that at Clyde Warren. We don't have that at the zoo, and I'm sad about that because we may not want to do this deal, but it's not because of Walt and what he's done these years. The criticisms, I've heard this. One, not enough park. Hopefully, we've put this to bed, and we will, if we, as Mr. Griggs said, want to change the order, and we want to put our money, our bond money into a park, okay. I'm not sure that's the way we should be doing it, because I think we get money from the private sector to do that. But if that's what we decide to do, we can do it. All right? So hopefully we're all in alignment that the park's important. That the someone said that this 270 acres is the last chance we have for real economic development in southern Dallas. And I think there needs to be economic development there. But if we look at this as just an economic development play, then shame on us, because this is a park for people. I think we can use it as mixed use, but first and foremost, it's a park. And we need to make sure that we take care of the citizens, not the folks that want to rent space. There's ways to use it with education, and there's other things. And if somebody wants, if there's a deal out there, we'll talk about it. But the primary focus is to put the park back into Fair Park, as we've said. Then the other thing I heard that, well, the idea is okay, but it's not big enough. We need to think bigger. It's one of these things where we've got to figure it out. I mean, is it, are we not spending enough, or are we spending too much? And so, to me, this feels like Goldilocks just right to get this plane off the ground, and then it can grow to where it needs to go. And then I just want to say one last thing, and I may be wrong, but I don't think I am. I want to work on this. I want to get a deal and done. You'll bring it back. We'll vote it up or down. People want to make amendments, they can do that, and that's what we'll do. But we'll have one thing. If we don't pass this, this doesn't happen for the next 20 years. It just doesn't. We are too close. This has taken too much work. It is not going to happen. So the question is, do we want to make it good and make it happen, make it better and improve it, or do we want to kill it? And that's what makes a democracy, and we'll talk about it. For me, I'm for pushing it on. Let's get it done. The citizens of Dallas want it. The future generations want it. And I think we just started to see how powerful this could be. Mr. Heumann's going to go away at some point, and other people will come on, other councils, but they'll look back and say this was a critical point in the city of Dallas's life. Thank you for letting me pontificate. And if that's a question, Mr. McGee, I'll answer. If it's a comment, I won't. Is it a question?
It's a question.
Please.
If I have to say it's a question.
Yes. We're not going to start talking about this.
Don't need to talk about it. I'm committed to help facilitate in the way that you asked so far. I'm not committed to voting one way or the other.
I didn't say you did at this point. I didn't say you did. I said Mr. Medrano said he wouldn't.
Understood. I just want to make sure that's real clear for everybody out there
moving forward. Meeting's adjourned. Thank you.
Time is 4:49.